What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Game Over Greggy Show. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
How are we doing, Greg?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well.
Do you ever move this around like it's a Ouija board thing?
I do a lot, actually.
No, you don't.
I do
a lot of things with these mics. You've never done this before. You've never done it like this before.
I move it around like this.
That's
like
fine.
I'm sorry. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Thank
I don't
you.
Move it around like it's a Ouija board.
Ouija?
I move it around like it's an air hockey stick.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I got that. That makes sense.
And I also, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. These remind me of Rite Aid ice creams. You know, they come out with the sort of square-ish, sort of cylindrical
scoop. No, I don't know Rite Aid ice cream.
Oh, man, it's the business. The bee's knees. It used to be called Thrifties.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. They have a chocolate malted crunch, which is
the Do they have Whoppers as toppers? Could I put some Whoppers on my ice cream?
I think you'd like
Whoppers as toppers.
You can do whatever you want. They sell it all
Midwest
there.
Is a weird place.
CVS.
You never get the... We talked about this last week, Pier 1, Tim Gettys, mm-hmm. how great Whoppers are.
Yeah.
So don't talk to me like you've never had ice cream with Whoppers on it, all right?
I haven't.
You never had a DQ Blizzard with some Whoppers mm-hmm. in there?
DQ's not a thing around here. In the Bay
it's a thing
area.
In SoCal. I love DQ. The peanut butter parfait.
We got like a... We have one knockoff-ass DQ in a mall. Those don't count.
No, I agree with that 100%. Yeah. Pride of Long Island. Colin Moriarty.
It's good to be here with you.
Are DQs a thing on the East Coast?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just making sure. Can never be. You never be sure where this is. What's Rite Aid's penetration on the market? Where are they everywhere? Are they out here only?
Out here. I don't know.
I've never actually.
And it did used to be a Thrifties.
Yeah, it used to be Thrifties. Thrifties got bought out by Rite Aid. Now, I don't know where you all come down on the Rite Aid versus CVS versus Walgreens.
See, that. Okay, so I'm in the right vein there. Rite Aid, you asked me before this podcast, what's Rite Aid do? I would have said they're like a Walgreens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they are.
But they serve ice cream in squares?
Yeah, it's weird. They have a little ice cream stand. The scooper is like the shape of this cup, a little bit smaller. So the scoop of ice cream comes out looking like the tip of this mic.
Okay.
So when you get a cone, they serve like the shitty cones, the ones that aren't sugar, the ones that like basically taste like
cardboard.
Yeah, like the ones that Sizzler.
Sizzler serves ice cream cones?
Yeah, Sizzler has the, when you get the unlimited things, the unlimited salad bar or whatever, sure. they have the unlimited
soft serve ice cream.
Soft serve, yeah, and it gives
wafer,
you the little
wafer cones.
Fucking cardboard things.
I hate those things.
I don't mind them.
I mean,
there's nothing more satisfying, though, than pulling the thing and just seeing how far up you can go. Yeah,
but you know it's going to just eventually leaning tower pizza onto your arm.
And that's why you grab the bowl.
Oh.
You hold it next to it.
Holy
and you need to do a walk back, trying to make sure it doesn't fall. Then as soon as you get down to your place, you put it down, you just dunk that shit. You always put one M&M on the bottom of the cone. It's a little gift.
These are Sizzler facts.
This is crap, dude.
Never been inside a Sizzler.
You're not missing much.
Thought it was more like a Red Lobster. It's more like a Golden Corral? Where am I on the scale here?
No. So here's the thing. People act like Sizzler has this fucking buffet, this big unlimited salad bar. That's all it is. It's a salad bar.
Oh, it's like a Ruby Tuesday.
I don't know.
Don't they have pudding? Isn't there a pudding bar too?
Yeah, but it's like that. That's you don't want to go near that. Then they have the have fried chicken, skin, but it's just like not real fried chicken. Then there's a taco bar, but it's like there's a lot of needing to be had here.
So there's a lot of bars at this place.
Yeah, there's a lot of disappointment too. And then the meals aren't good either. And then there's the question of where do you tip? Do you tip before? Do you tip after? Do you tip at all? I don't know.
Gotcha. Okay. Well,
yeah,
that's one way to put your hands up and do that. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, each every week, the Game Over Greggy Show comes to your ears or eyes. Four, sometimes five best friends gather around this table. Each bring a random topic of conversation for your amusement. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can toss us a few bucks and get every episode early. If you don't want to get it early, you don't have the bucks, no big deal. Head over to youtube.com/gameovergreggy where we break the show up topic by topic, day by day, before posting the entire thing for your amusement. Nick.
You getting me scared there for a second, Greg.
Why?
Because you went off the beaten path
like
a little bit. Yeah,
we've done 100 episodes on the beaten path.
Yeah.
I figured now's my time to experiment scat and bebop around the house.
I'm with you, man. Whenever you want to. You want to wear cool clothes?
Turn into a tarantula.
You mean all cool clothes like these cranberry pants and Ryan Gosling socks?
Stand up and show everyone your pants.
I've already seen them.
Go right in front and show them.
Shake your ass for the camera a little bit. We got to make some money.
There you go. There you go.
This is worth a dollar right here. Twerk
it.
Twerk it harder.
There it is.
You could twerk it a little harder than that.
I'm a big fan of these. Make the bulbs look.
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't think we need to go that far.
This is pornographic now. No. Well, you know what? Don't point to it because now. Oh. Okay. We're going to get kicked off of YouTube. What's happening, Colin? What is going on?
I don't know.
You're talking about your Mjolnir? Your penis's name is Mjolnir now?
Mine's named Medium.
His name Medium?
Uh huh.
That's amazing. Because
it's almost spicy.
I'm going to call it Chris Hemsworth from now on.
Chris Hemsworth.
When you walk in the morning and say, hey, That's Chris Hemsworth. Yeah.
Nick, what's your topic?
This topic is long in the making, Greg.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We don't get this topic but once every 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
I can't remember if it's 2 years or 3 years. So I said 2 to 3 years. Yes, to be safe. My topic is...
What the fuck is wrong with you, Nick?
My topic...
You forgot the topic. That's what it is.
No, I didn't forget the topic.
It's just
no,
the wheels are spinning, trying to catch up. They're just kicking up mud.
No, I've been working on my segues a little bit here, guys. And they still need a little bit more
and
work.
You came up with Yost.
I don't know, for some reason, I channeled one of the main characters from The Golden Child starring Eddie Murphy. I don't know why the hell my brain went there.
Anyway, see, I thought it was going to be a reference to your topic.
Just like that. No, not at all. Although, I guess now... Ooh, segue... Speaking of people with weird accents who are villains, I want to talk about James Bond.
Oh, okay.
That's what I want to talk about.
You do talk about Bond a lot, but we've never had his topic, have we?
I do. I don't know that we have necessarily. I mean, I've brought him up multiple times. Tim, you saw the new James Bond film.
I did. Spectre.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I want to gauge how you guys feel about this, because sadly, I am becoming less and less of a Bond fan.
But you were the only Bond films. Fan I knew.
That's it.
Wow.
I actually might be the last one.
You're in a theater all by yourself.
You're not the last. There's others.
No, there are quite a few, but this is something that's been, I think this is the 24th film?
24th.
Is that fourth? Yeah.
Yes.
And we're talking about 50 some odd years mm-hmm. of a franchise. And so what I kind of had the realization on this one was, although it's not a bad movie by any stretch of the imagination, it's well made, the
it's
action's cool.
Very okay.
It's just that every single thing in it feels oddly reminiscent of every movie that came before it. Mm. And that's starting to wear on me a little bit. Again, I have a love for this franchise that borderlines on blind faith. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not gonna leave it just yet. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, there's the car outside's not, it's not on. Someone's not waiting for me to run out the door. I'm still here with it, you know?
Well, you're having,
James
you're
and
having
I
a
are
rough
still
time.
Here.
You're having a rough
yeah.
time.
We're having
right
a rough
now.
Patch today. So, I don't know. I wanted to hear you guys' thoughts on that. I mean, you guys, do you care?
No,
do you give
never.
A
shit? Never have ever least. Given a shit about James Bond. No. Never been able to feign interest in it. I've only watched one movie. It was the one, and this all I remember from it is where at the end he rolls over and he thought Christmas only came once a year. And I was like, all right.
I love that you've
that
seen
was an experience.
Literally the worst James Bond movie. Just the world
that was
not
it.
Enough.
That's all I've seen. I've never thought he seems that interesting, or his adventures seem that interesting. And I also don't like British people.
So why? Because the they talk so funny?
Yeah. Oi, Governor! I'm like, well, right there, we would know you're James Bond because you talk like that.
Because you're the only person on the planet.
But he's not. It's not like a secret identity.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, that's actually that's one of the tropes that people make fun of a lot in the series, that everyone knows who he is most of the time. Like, he just goes around telling people his name's Bond, James Bond. And
yeah,
he's like, oh, I guess I'll just do a quick Google search for you.
Yeah, right. Now it's a different world for him, right?
Agent. Yeah.
Moneypenny's in there taking it all out.
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's one of those franchises that obviously has been around for so long and seen so many different decades of filmmaking and different decades of... Just decades.
It's seen decades of decades.
Decades, but
it's interesting to me that the franchise has seen a lot of restarts and a lot of different styles in it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, depending on the Bond, like the Brosnan Bond was way more 90s.
Yeah.
You know, and it just was very goofy and kind of stupid and like, just look at my gadgets. We got so much gadgets.
We had an invisible
and then
car.
Daniel Craig was like the four so far. That it's kind of like the Dark Knight trilogy of the
grounded.
Yeah, it's more grounded, and I think it's a little bit more like grittier, and you know, all the words that people throw out when they talk about Dark Knight.
Visceral.
Yeah, shit like that. And I liked it. I enjoy it. I enjoy the now quadrilogy, and I'm sure it's not fucking over. There needs
no,
to be more.
I doubt it's over. He's contracted for one more.
But
I don't think
there's a lot of
it.
Issues with it.
No, wait,
I think.
No, whoa. Is he really contracted? Because he's been saying he'd only come back for money and da 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 da. That's not how contracts work.
He has a 5-picture contract from what I understand with Sony. But I think there's some interesting rights issues happening. I guess Sony's like losing the rights to distribute it this year. And so that may cause some more contract negotiations. I don't know if they've cleared that up or not. But yeah, he's supposed to do 5. This is number 4. And it's interesting because it's gone full circle with me. He did Casino Royale, which was a really cool
amazing
reboot, right? It's very much what Tim's talking about, which is like a Nolan-esque reboot of like, let's ground this a little bit more in reality. Let's bring a character that's got a lot more dimensions than just the sort of misogynistic, good-looking, you know, superhero that Bond kind of turned into in the Brosnan era. And then in the span of 3 movies, they went right back to the kind of hokey craziness with Skyfall. And now we're sort of at that place where nothing really...
matters.
Because nothing's grounded in reality, you don't have that much of an emotional connection to the character anymore. And I'm sure you I don't know if you felt that or not in this, but you're just kind of like, eh, I don't really care what happens.
No, I mean, well, that totally, that sums up this movie. And I think the problem with that is the way that these movies function. Like, they're sequels to each other, but it almost as if they don't expect you to have watched the other ones.
Right.
You know, and because I think it is a 3-year cycle for these movies.
Yeah.
Which is crazy for sequels. Like, 2 years is a little bit more standard. 1 year is when you really want people to know that they need to watch the other ones for the story to make sense. Yeah. And it's crazy that, like, what I liked about these four is that it was a fresh start. You didn't really need to know any of the history. You can just jump in here and kind of get it. But they kind of lost sight of it over the last, what, 12 years making these movies? That doesn't sound right, but
that's how 3x4 works.
Yeah. Yeah.
But probably.
I don't know. Casino Royale, yeah. It came out a long ass time ago.
Yeah.
I think Quantum was 08. So
yeah,
somewhere
in there.
Casino
may have been 06.
But it's like, it seems like they didn't really have a through line that they were going with at all with these movies. And they kind of like work backwards, specifically watching this one where the entire plot of it is, oh, hey, you know all those other things that happened?
Those things that were seemingly random were actually tied to this one big thing.
Exactly. That and also those bad guys, there was something above them. They were all together.
That was where it started to lose. Because they tried to, with Skyfall, they tried to sort of have a lot of homages to the original series, right? And they had like very, very straightforward. They weren't even subtle. It was like the original car comes back and with the ejector seat and all that stuff. And you see sort of updated versions of that here. But one of the things they wanted to do is they wanted to tie in the original evil organization Spectre, which prior to this had been Quantum. And you're not really quite sure how those two are together or not together, or some people from Quantum or Inspector. We're not sure if it was just a different name they went by. I mean, we think it's a whole different organization that was way more hardcore, similar to, like, you know, ISIS to Al-Qaeda, I guess, would be a good parallel to draw. Like, where, like, they're super fucking hardcore, and like, which makes Quantum look like, you know, the bad guys from before look like they fucking work at Disneyland. But you don't really get it. And it's just interesting. I don't know. It's one of those franchises that I look forward to every year, and every year I've been more and more disappointed with what's happening, coming from Casino Royale, which is unfortunate. And I think
you love him. You love James Bond, the character.
Yeah, of course.
Where's your barometer?
I'm interested. I like it a lot. This Daniel Craig vision of it, I wish was better than it is.
Okay.
Because the thing that I want to say about it is they're beautiful movies.
Oh, no.
Like, the level of production and camera work and just beauty and like fucking vision that they have for these is on another level. Like, movies don't compare like this, right?
No, this was beautifully done.
Like, for a big blockbuster movie, I think this is on another level.
Yeah, I mean, just even the people they choose to come and shoot these things, like Skyfall was Roger Deakins, who's like probably the best working cinematographer in the industry right now. And this last one was Hoyt Van Hoytema, who is the guy that shot Interstellar. So, I mean, you're talking about top of their craft people. So, yes, visually and just as far as just the mechanics of filmmaking, these are fucking top notch. They're worth seeing because they're cool.
So loves him, interested, doesn't care. Do you care about Bond? Do you connect with Bond?
He's an interesting character. I don't really know anything about him, but I've seen, you know, I don't know how many of the movies.
Sure.
Many of them. Pierce Brosnan was really my introduction to it.
Christmas
when I was
like
younger.
Means like an orgasm, but she was named Christmas.
But I don't know anything about the character. I like the idea of the character and like a suave, sophisticated British secret agent or whatever. I think it's cool, but that's not for me, really.
Nick, I want to know why and when you fell in love with him.
Interesting. I think I thought he's just always been a character, right? I think I saw the movies. I saw the original Connery movies on TV during the Christmas time. They always play like a marathon, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I sat down and watched one. I was like, this is fairly interesting. And then I think it was really probably GoldenEye that did it for me.
Gotcha.
The game, sinking countless hours into that game and really sort of starting to appreciate just Bond as a franchise for what, you know, just from the enjoyment level I got from the N64 game to then going through and I think a lot of people you have your different touchstones of like, who's your Bond if you're into Bond, you know, depending on when you were born. And a lot of people, now it's Daniel Craig, but for you, it was probably Pierce Brosnan back in the day because that was probably the first time you saw a Bond film or actually were aware of it. You'd probably seen him on TV, but it's that first time you were aware of it. For me, it was probably GoldenEye.
Yeah.
And then I started working my way backward because I remember seeing Living Daylights. I remember seeing Timothy Dalton and just not liking it because I was like, this doesn't really do it for me. But then that tie-in with the game, because the game was so good, I'm like, damn it, the marketing worked. They got me. Watched
the marketing that was like 2 years after the release of the movie.
I think I remember really liking the movie. And I think I remember liking it because it was so different than the Timothy Dalton movies. And I'd seen the Roger Moore movies, of course. I mean, I guess I always just kind of saw them when I was a kid and didn't really, I just kind of liked them. And then once I
played. So it wasn't until you got older that you actually.
Yeah,
I didn't know if it was something you watched as a kid and you're like, this Secret Agent's awesome. And he's got.
I mean, I liked it. I liked the gadgets. I liked all the zaniness of it. And then I started sort of, you know, in recent years, in the last 10 years, I read the books and I started reading a little bit more about Ian Fleming and sort of how he took some of his real world experience from being not an OSS officer. Whatever the
Secret Service,
man, it wasn't Secret Service. Whatever the Secret Service was during World War II for the Brits, I forget what it was. It might have been OSS. Anyway, he worked for them, and he knew people that were sort of quote unquote secret agents. And so he, you know, I just think it's cool how he took sort of some of the reality of the world and sort of inflated it into this character, this Bond character. And what's fascinating for me is what it's meant to sort of as a symbol throughout the decades, right? And you see it sort of as Sean Connery as that sort of like. That brooding, good-looking, dashing, but flawed guy, and then you go, you know, that you go into the sort of the Roger Moore era, which is throw it all out of the fucking window. It's completely zany. We got cars that can fucking turn into boats, that can turn into helicopters, lasers coming out of, you know, every aspect of his wardrobe
at all points,
just everywhere. It's just like, don't touch my lapel. There's a laser coming out of it. Then you got Dalton, who was an interesting choice. You've got George Lazenby in there, who's another fascinating story of a guy that like should have been a huge star, but did one movie, decided to quit the franchise, and that was it.
Never recovered.
For him. Never actually worked again after that. He should have done two or three more Bond movies.
Why didn't he ever work? Because
his agent
quit?
Apparently the way the story goes is his agent gave him really bad advice and said, hey, you should only do one of these because you're going to get typecast, which does happen. It happened to Roger Moore. Didn't happen to Sean Connery, but it did happen to Timothy Dalton and Pierce Brosnan, I think, to some degree.
He
did Remington Steele. He did Mrs. Doubtfire. He did a lot of good work, but.
But his, like Thomas Crown Affair and all that kind of shit was like very
still the same stuff.
Still Bondian, yeah, right. And so you come through that. I don't know if Bondian is a word, but we're
it
gonna
is
make
now.
It into a word. Yeah,
you just made a word.
You come through that and see. Yeah, so he apparently only did one, and his agent said, "Get out of it now."
Gotcha.
And he was basically a male model at the time. I don't think he'd been well known at all. I don't think he'd done anything before that, and I don't think he did anything since.
Gotcha.
Which is unfortunate because that movie actually wasn't as bad as people make it out to be. But I think that's Daniel Craig's fear now, is that he wants out of the series because he's been typecast. But I don't know if that's true. I don't think I buy that.
Does that even exist anymore? Does typecasting exist?
It does
anymore?
To a degree. Like I was thinking about it the other day with Arrow, where I was like, could Stephen Amell? It would be hard for him to do anything but Arrow right now, right?
He's Casey Jones in Ninja Turtles.
Is he?
Yep.
We'll see how that works. That should work. That'll be good. That's great for him. But like, it's hard for me to envision him as anything but Arrow. And I think to me, because I come from that old school, like once you're a TV actor, you're a TV actor, which doesn't really exist anymore because people are going back and forth. But like, he's so Arrow to me that it's hard for me to. Move away from that. And Daniel Craig will always be Bond. Like, he hasn't done anything more. He did The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. He did Layer Cake. He did a bunch of other movies. He did Munich, which he was fucking phenomenal in.
Yeah.
But his breakout role, the thing that made him, was Bond. And so he'll always be Bond.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I was thinking about it the other day. I was, for some reason, started thinking about Katie Holmes. I don't know why I'm thinking about Katie Holmes.
Dawson's Creek, man.
Yeah.
She'll
the thing was, I'm like, you know, I was thinking, and it must have been something related to Tom Cruise, because like, oh yeah, and they broke up and done. I'm like, but what was Katie Holmes famous for? And like, I know actress, don't get me wrong, but I was thinking of not Dangerous Minds. What was the one where there were like the kids took the Faculty? Was
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was that and that. And I was trying to work my way back, and it took me not hours, but at least a minute of thinking to be like, oh, right, she's on Dawson's Creek. That was a thing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you see people get chances again all the time. Like, I remember when Party of Five ended, you're like, well, that's that for them, people. And then like Matthew Fox is on Lost. You're like, oh. And then the other brother from that had a show I remember that was running at the same time.
Heroes,
I forgot.
Wasn't he?
Was he? Scott Wolf? Is that right? Is that his name?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm thinking my soul.
And then,
life.
I mean, like, I mean, even like back to your point of like, you know, we've talked about him on this show and he's been on our stuff at E3. Like Brandon Routh, right? When Superman Returns blew up and didn't go anywhere, I was like, oh, well, what's going to happen to him? Is he ever going to work again? He's worked a bunch of times. And now he is on Arrow or was on Arrow or whatever. And he's got Legends of the Tomorrow. And don't know.
I think you may have... I read a story about Katie Holmes. She was in my brain recently because apparently the actress from King of Queens,
yeah,
Leanne Rimini or whatever.
We know her, of course, as Stacey Carosi.
Mm-hmm. Apparently wrote a book, an autobiography that has a lot to do with like being around Scientologists and going to that Tom Cruise and Suri's wedding and like all the weird shit that like, which is fascinating to me. I'm so fascinated by that. I will probably not read it, but I am fascinated enough to have read that Yahoo
so
article
read
that I came
excerpts.
Across.
You've read the excerpts on Yahoo.com.
But yeah, she's another interesting one too, where it's like, you know, she's on Ray Donovan. It's a great show. She's on.
I know. What's Rated Hollywood?
It's a Showtime show starring Liev Schreiber. Gotcha. It's fucking really good, and she's on it. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you're always sort of known for that, and I think that is a concern. But you know, if the best you're ever gonna do in life is being fucking James Bond, I think you did okay. You know?
And I think that might be the bigger thing nowadays, right? It's like, it's not that you never work again, but are you ever something that's on that level again? You know what I mean?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, for Daniel Craig will. He'll endure and he'll find a couple of breakout roles.
Are they making more of the Girl with Dragon Tattoo movies? I like that first one a lot.
I don't think so. I don't think he wanted to. Well, I don't think his character, I don't think, is in them predominantly. Gotcha. For the next two. I think it's more about her. I think he's just a side character in it. But I don't know what the holdup is that. I love that first movie.
Yeah, it was great.
I thought it was great. It was better than reading the book because all the fucking names are too incredibly hard to pronounce in your brain.
Sure.
Stieg Larsson. That was easier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that seems like you nailed it.
I don't know. I want to see him do more. Obviously, you want people that are in franchises that you love to actually be happy when they're making them.
Yeah, so what's your take on all that though? Because this was this huge thing, right? That Daniel Craig did all this press and then was like,
yeah. If you read the quote, it was a lot more joking than people made it out to be. They just kind of they took it out of context. In context, he was saying more along the lines of like he's really tired because they're in the middle of. And you've been to those junkets multiple times. You've had people on the shows that you've hosted where they do the rounds, right? At Comic-Con, they're like, cool, we just got off of 15 other interviews, and you're going to ask me probably, let's be honest, the exact same questions that all those other people asked us.
Yeah.
And so, yes, right now, there is a component of wanting to not be in that situation that I think that he was feeling. But it's also obviously heightened by the fact that he doesn't want to do the movies anymore. But yeah, he was basically alluding to the fact that he was just really tired. And right now, given the thought of going back on set and doing another movie, he would rather slit his wrists. Which was a poor use of words. He should have said, you know what, I need a break. That's all I needed to say.
That's a better way to say it.
But I think he needs to go, and I think they need to redo. I think they need to reboot the franchise.
They do. I mean, they have to. It's too convoluted at this point. Like Skyfall, I think was a good. It wasn't a perfect movie, but I think it was a good direction of at least trying to like. All right, Casino Royale rebooted things. Quantum fucked things up. Skyfall was like, let's kind of get it back on track, and then this one just kind of put things together, but didn't go anywhere with it.
Yeah.
And now just it's convoluted, and it's like a Metal Gear Solid storyline without any of the good parts about it.
We'll see.
It's just convoluted.
What I liked about Casino Royale that unfortunately I think Quantum kind of jostled a little bit was that Casino Royale was a little bit more like a Bourne movie. It was taken taking a lot of cues from the Bourne identity and the Bourne series, where it was super violent. The action was super fucking visceral, and like it wasn't tongue in cheek. Like I'm gonna say a tagline afterward. Like there's at no point does he ever say with the exception of like one or two choice lines like "Don't lose your head."
He doesn't
dumb one liners, right? It's very, very much about him being a covert operative in this world and like having to take down someone. And there is a grandeur to it, but ultimately it was a lot more rooted in reality than even Quantum was, where you have him suddenly like doing these crazy things in this plane. And then by the time Skyfall comes around, I think Skyfall was a reaction to Quantum, where Quantum was, because of the writer strike and because of some of the circumstances of when it was being produced, it wasn't as good as it could have been. Namely, I think Daniel Craig actually wrote some of it, if I'm not mistaken, because they didn't have the writers. Like the writers were striking at the time.
Why don't you take a shot at this, Daniel?
Well, he's a co-producer on
James
it now, too,
Bond.
As well.
Great line.
Awesome. Thought of that myself. So, you know, the problem is the series, I think, just kind of it found itself with Casino Royale, and I think it lost itself with Skyfall. I think by the time it got to Skyfall, they were like, ooh, here's how we fix this. Let's do a bunch of ridiculous homages to the Roger Moore era and like the Sean Connery era, and let's try to tie that in with a villain that's really like really crazy, but at the same time, let's have absolutely nothing happen.
Yeah,
and
Skyfall. That was the problem, is it was so close, but they didn't really do it. The best compliment I can give this one is the opening 15 minutes are amazing.
They're beautiful.
So cool. I loved it.
Beautiful. It's all done in like a one-take shot. I think they shot on film, too, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't read that article.
I mean, it looked... The only problem with the CG when the building crumbles is like... It was like, oh, man, you took me out of this. But before that, man, the fucking... When it starts up and just that one shot following him, there's no dialogue. You just hear all the sounds of the people and shit. And then he just goes in the room with that girl, and you're just like, this is fucking great.
Yeah, it's a great first scene. It's very reminiscent of like Touch of Evil. But like when we're following him through this crowd of people in Mexico City during
Day of the Dead
celebrations. And he goes up to the hotel room, and he's in like the costume, and he throws the girl in the bed, and we're with her for a second. It's all one shot. We're with her for a second, and then it turns back to him, and he's in a suit, like just putting on his tie. She's like, "Where are you going?" He's like, "I'll be right back."
Steps out the window,
and then has to go kill someone. Cool. It's really cool, and that was great.
And then there's a great action scene. like with the helicopter and stuff.
Yeah, again, it was one of those things where it was like, that was awesome, but I didn't really need that. Like, we don't need, I guess this is at the heart of what I'm struggling with, is do we need this character anymore? You know, like a perfect example is, and I don't want to get too down this rabbit hole, but his the sex scene with Monica Bellucci, right, where it just kind of totally comes out of nowhere and he sort of quote unquote seduces her, but it seems a lot more creepy than it should have. Yeah. I don't know how you felt about that, I mean, but I was like, this is really not like in olden days. I think it was sort of like the idea of what the masculine man was supposed to be Sean Connery, right? A guy that could walk into a room and the woman was so attracted to him that he could take her clothes off without even thinking about it, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, if any of us did that right now, we'd probably be thrown in jail, and rightfully so, because it comes off a lot more like assault in this movie than
Is she like the main girl?
No, Monica Bellucci is the wife in the very beginning, where she's like, they're going to kill me now because you killed my husband.
Got it. Yeah.
Just stunning. So
what does creepy mean?
It's not that she doesn't want it. It's just that the character of Bond is supposed to mean something that I don't know that it necessarily needs to mean anymore, in that I don't think it needs to be the sort of symbol of sex appeal for a man, right? Because I think that criteria, in my brain at least, has changed a little bit, right? Like, he's dashing, yes. He's good looking, yes. He's charming, yes. But I don't feel a connection to anyone anymore that, based on a need or a desire of mine, to be able to sweep a woman off her feet in 5 seconds, right? That's not interesting to me anymore. And I think that's sort of indicative of what the franchise is in general. It's that it's very, 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 very superficial now. It's come back to that superficial level where the action's superficial, the sex is superficial. The wardrobes, while amazing, are still kind of just there as sort of, they kind of just pop out as like, this is just going to kind of, you know, season the whole whatever we're looking at on screen. There's no real heart to it, and that I think that's what I take sort of offense to. Not offense, but I think that's what I have that makes me a little sad, is that I don't feel a connection to him anymore personally, and I don't feel a connection because I don't think that they're taking the time to really think about how he should be utilized or how they should develop these connections within the characters, within the structure of the movies, right? So, like, for instance, I don't need to see him walk into a room and instantly have sex with a girl. Does anyone need to see that? Does anyone get off on that? Does anyone look at that and go, that's a fucking serious, a symbol of masculinity that I should adhere to, or I should strive to be like? I don't think that.
Sex scene in that movie.
The second sex scene was hot, though.
It was amazing.
That was good because they actually
built up. She creeped
him out.
I mean, it was. Yeah, it's good. It's real good. Right. Also, I want to give a shout out to the song, because when I first heard the song, I was like, "This sucks. This isn't Bond. I don't like this." Especially after the amazing Skyfall by Adele.
Yeah, it was. I liked it.
Bond movies always have the best opening sequences, and this one.
Well, they literally have producers that just do those.
I know. I love seeing the credits. Then you see the credit for the guy that just made that music video. Yeah, it's fucking
freaking
cool.
Awesome, man. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with it. I'm sure given some time, I'll go back. I mean, I've rewatched probably Casino Royale.
In a perfect world, what do you want to see then? Do you want to see Bond take a decade off? Do you want to see?
No, I want to see him. I would love to see them go back to the storytelling that we saw in Casino Royale, which I know is hard, right? That's like saying I'd love to see Nolan keep remaking The Dark Knight every time, right? It's not going to fucking happen, right? And again, it's not to say like to Tim's earlier point, this is a good movie. I'm not going to score it. I'm not going to review it. But if I had to, I would score it well. I would say go see it. It's awesome to watch in theaters. The cinematography, the acting, everything's beautiful. It's just it's everything's compared to The Dark Knight. You know, that is the benchmark. And so when you have Rises, depending on who's hitting the table, it's just not as good. And to me, I think that every subsequent one that followed Casino Royale has been just not as good.
Step down.
I did the same problem that whenever we have been talking about Uncharted recently, where I was saying my issues with Uncharted is that a lot of the plot in all three of the games is, all right, you need to go find this thing in this place. You go there, you get it, and you're like, oh, wait.
We actually need to go to that place.
And then you go there, and it's like, oh, but there's this person over here. Oh, they're not the bad guy. You need to go to Mexico. Now you need to go to Antarctica. Now you need to go to whatever. And it's like, why? You know, and what this movie doesn't have that Uncharted does have is the writing and the characters that you really fucking care about. So the movie is just kind of like, you're just going places for no fucking reason.
And I think that's the point. That's what I'd love to see more. I'd like to see way more character development. I know that sounds silly for a Bond film, because it is a Bond film and we're getting into the minutiae of it. But I'd like to see way more character development. I'd like to see more development. I think Daniel Craig would probably like to see a lot more development of the actual character itself. Just in general,
there should be development that matches the look of it.
How do you mean?
Like it looks
amazing. It looks why like a the great story movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's what I'd love to see. And I know that's you know, rendering a complaint where I think a lot of people would disagree with me and say, dude, it's a fucking Bond film. Like it's similar to a Call of Duty movie.
Here's my
question. Or a Call of Duty game. Like, where you're gonna play Call of Duty, you know what you're gonna fucking get. People mostly just want more Call of Duty.
How do these movies perform nowadays? I don't even pay attention.
Skyfall did really well.
Yeah,
yeah. This one I think is doing fairly well. The budget was huge on it though, and it was closely creeping up to.
It's the third highest budget one of the movie highest, of all time.
Yeah, highest movies of all time. So, and you can see it. It definitely is there. It's like fucking the visuals beautiful. Are gorgeous, but it always. Makes me wonder, and I think at this one I haven't read up on it, but I don't know if this is true or not. Someone told me that they kind of went into shooting with the script still in flux, very much in flux, and so that could contribute to a little bit of that. But it always amazes me that, like, especially with the producers of these films, where you're like, why wouldn't you just, you know, you're gonna make another one, why don't you take some of that $200 million budget and just throw a really good screenwriter a bone, you know? Yeah. Let him just do a throw Gary Whitta a bone. Let him write a James Bond film. I'm sure he's British, isn't he? Still?
Yeah.
Does he still count as British?
Still?
Yeah. Yeah. He still eats all that gross ass food and just wants it all the time. All
God,
that gross
man, that
food.
Last
he
shit he brought
really
in,
British.
I crave sometimes.
Oi, Governor, me Gary Whitta here.
Yeah.
Abomination in bookstores now, eh?
It is in bookstores now.
It is.
Online.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that's where I'm at. I mean, again, you know, I still love it.
So you
I
want James Bond dead. You say end the franchise, bury it, and never do it again, and also collect all the copies of the movies that are out there now and burn those.
Wow. No.
That's what I got away from
not,
your topic.
Take a golden gun out back. One bullet to the head.
Shoot it in the back of the head. Now, I mean, you know, I think that I always want Bond to be a thing, similar to how I always want Harry Potter to be a thing. I always want the Muppets to be a thing. There are certain cherished franchises that I need to still be around, and Bond is definitely one of them.
But Harry Potter is a thing, and it's done now.
No, it's coming back, baby.
Is it?
Coming back. They're making another one. Jesus. It's an offshoot. It's a what
it's about
called?
Harry and his kids or that monster?
No, it's about what is it called? Magical
Fantastic
yeah,
Beasts.
Okay, yeah, Fantastic Beasts. That doesn't count. That's not back.
It does.
That's
count.
Grasping at straws. That's not.
No, that's them building out the expanded universe of Harry Potter.
The expanded universe, the cinematic bookie universe.
No,
what's that?
Oh yeah, I did hear about this. Where it's like Potter's 35, right, and his kids doing something.
They're
it's
a play.
Is it a musical?
It's a two-part.
Going
play.
Going back to Hogwarts. Everyone we knew is dead.
Oh my God. We need to see this musical.
I'm down.
Immediately.
Well, we need to write it, I think, first. That might be the next step. Colin, what's your topic?
First of all, I wanted to say that it's funny that Scott or Spectre's in the theater with all the money it's grossing at the same time as that Gem movie, which apparently is the fourth lowest grossing wide release movie ever released. There in the movies.
Nobody
the
likes
time.
That Gem movie.
Well, to be fair, no one liked that character on Nashville either. Boom.
Now, here's the thing.
She was the most annoying character on that show.
Here's, first off, shut your fucking mouth. Secondly, we are not, you, let's not.
She was supposed to be annoying.
Let's not cross it. Our lines here. We are not talking about Aubrey Peoples. We're talking about the okay. movie Gem.
I'm and, not talking and, about and, her as a person or an actor. I'm telling her character on Nashville was purposely designed to be annoying, and she nailed it. Great actress. Give her an Academy Award or whatever they give TV people.
Emmys. They give them Emmys.
Whatever.
And you keep talking the past tense. She's still very much active on the show. There's a very interesting storyline right now with her and Jeff. I don't want to spoil anything.
Jeff the asshole?
Jeff Fordham, yeah.
Why don't they just kill that guy? Just put a fucking bullet in the back of his head.
He's dead. I'm sorry to break it to you this
what
way.
The fuck, really?
He did die, yes.
Did someone put a bullet in the back of his head? Did
no.
I kill him?
No.
Was it me?
No.
Okay. How'd he die? Tell me offline. Don't spoil it for people. Well, you've already spoiled it for people. How did he die?
Don't spoil it.
Nobody watching right now fucking cares, and you should be caught up on Nashville. It was actually, Juliet's going through a really hard time. She's got postpartum.
Juliet killed him?
She's got postpartum depression. So she was on a roof about to commit suicide, right? And Jeff saw it and ran over to save her and pulled her back, but then he fell.
Show's so fucking stupid.
Are you fucking
I'm
me?
Dead serious.
I gotta get back
and
into
Luke
the show.
And Luke Wheeler's son saw it all, but he had been boozing. So what does he do with this information?
It's like the Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow.
We all win in this one, though.
Well, I'm glad they killed
Kevin,
this character.
Kevin put up his hand. To be clear, it's better than Game of Thrones. Ooh, there's monsters on the other side of the wall. Maybe in another 7 seasons they'll get here and do shit.
I was just thinking recently about conspiracy theories, which I love.
Who are you calling
conspiracy theories?
That doesn't sound like a thing you'd think about.
No, I like reading about them because I like reading about I don't believe most conspiracy theories, but I enjoy reading about how people kind of jump to these conclusions and why there's some interesting stuff, like the moon landing clearly happened, but you know, there's some interesting stuff that can be all proven false, but you know, people still go down this rabbit hole of, you know, why they believe that the United States never went to the moon. We went to the moon. If you really believe that, you need to get checked. But there are some conspiracy theories that I think are really interesting. And some I even believe. And I was curious if there were any conspiracy theories, and they're not to be necessarily like well-known conspiracy theories, but things that the record states happened that you just don't believe happened the way they said it happened. And my example is the JFK assassination, which I think is like fucking weird. And clearly something happened. There was clearly a second shooter.
Right.
There's like all sorts of evidence, like the government's own panels, like were saying that something was off when after this happened in the 60s. And we kind of just like swept it under the rug, like a man just goes into a school book, but depository, goes out a window, aims at the president and just kills him for no reason. Like there's just no motive.
With a shot that's similar to a Wanted, where he fucking curves the bullet. Wasn't there like some crazy trajectory shit?
That's why they think that there was a, you know, the shooter on the grassy knoll and all that kind of stuff, and like the way that he hit the governor in the front seat and all that kind of stuff too. And I don't know. So I don't want to get too deep into the JFK assassination, but I've always been fascinated by that particular conspiracy theory because I believe that there's some veracity towards that conspiracy theory. Whether or not, I don't know who the fuck was responsible for, whether it was the mob or it was just like Lee Harvey Oswald was a crazy person, but also a really good scapegoat, right? He was a communist sympathizer. He lived in the Soviet Union. Like there's all of this weird shit about him. And then Jack Ruby kills him. And Jack Ruby has like mob ties and all, like why do they kill him? Why?
Yeah, Jack Ruby doing America's service and jumping up and killing this guy who killed the president.
Like I don't understand. Like there's just, it's just very, very weird. Meanwhile, like there's clear film footage of weird shit happening. And there's people that were there that like swear to God that there was like a shot coming from another area in another place too.
So it makes sense though. I mean, like think about it this way. If you're going to assassinate a high ranking public figure, why would you have one shooter? Why, if it's an open car, which is ridiculous that they used to have, let that happen anyway, I guess, learn the hard way. But like, yeah, it makes sense. You'd have at least some backup, right? Wouldn't you have a couple people out there with a couple more sniper rifles?
Yeah, that's why I think there's just more to it.
Do you feel like Harvey Oswald took a shot though?
Yeah, I think he was in on it.
Yeah.
And I think that someone told Jack Ruby to kill him because he was going to talk.
Right.
And, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't alive that long afterwards. Like everyone forgets, like Lee Harvey Oswald didn't even get a chance to say anything really. And the only things that it's really fascinating to watch the footage of him walking by, like claiming that he's like, there's more to the story. Like he's innocent. And I'm sure he's definitely one of the shooters clearly, but why did Jack Ruby and what's crazy is Jack Ruby killed him on fucking national TV.
Yeah. Walked right
that's like
up to
one
him,
of the
right?
other, cra- that's like one of the other crazy things. Everyone just saw it happen. Jack Ruby just walks up to him and fucking shoots him. I'm like, this is insane. Like,
how did they talk Ruby into doing that?
I don't know.
They had shit on him too. That was just his life.
Yeah, like I don't. So we don't have to go fall down that rabbit hole, but I'm using that as an example of something where I'm like, okay, we landed on the moon. There was probably nothing super untoward about when Reagan was almost assassinated in 1981. Like all this kind of stuff. But with this, there's something about this. You know what I mean? Another great conspiracy theory that I don't believe in, but you know, is possible, and there's some interesting evidence is that we knew that Pearl Harbor was going to happen.
And that
we let it happen.
But isn't that kind of substantiated a little bit by the fact that like half the, or like all the fleet had moved out like the day or two before?
Yeah, well, I think
the carriers were all not, like all the carriers were gone. And that was actually vital to our Navy was gone. And they just sunk a bunch of old ships.
Yeah, well, it's more about, there were some ship movements with the Navy, but there was more like, you know, cables being sent back and forth, like indicating that like they knew. And the Japanese were still in Washington, like fainting, feint, you know, like saying that
they were
like,
doing peace talks.
Yeah, exactly. Like they were conducting peace talks with the Washington at the same time. But like there was apparently some people that knew, and it's all sorts of weird shit going on. But
I'd be a little pissed off. I was in another nation's capital conducting a peace talk, and behind my back, my fucking superiors bombed that nation. I'd be like, well, I'm dead.
Well, they knew.
Yeah, that wasn't behind their backs. No, they knew what they were.
Oh, they knew it was going to happen.
So that's just an example, you know, Area 51, all this stuff. I mean, there's a million different
9/11.
There's
this little thing that I saw that no one else saw called Loose Change. And it was pretty convincing.
Did you like Loose
Change? Actually, real talk, I did enjoy it a lot. But
it's interesting.
I think I was 15 when I first saw it. And like, I remember seeing it and being like, holy shit, like But that this is the problem is when people say things that are. Do you know what this is?
No, what's Loose Change?
Oh, documentary wow. about 9/11.
It's a documentary.
I'm sorry, throw the air quotes
about the conspiracy theory of 9/11 of how it was all America's fault and like every it was all an inside job and
got it.
Like,
the part of 9/11 that gets me is jet fuel can't melt steel beams like that. I'm fine with the jet fuel melting that and collapsing the building. Pentagon still gets me. I still think something else happened at the Pentagon. Not something
like
else.
Like a missile or something?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Down. But like the worst was when they're like, all right, fine. We've heard you all. We're going to release the footage. I'm like, well, thank you very much. And they put it out. It's like three frames. And you see like something. And then the explosion. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the whole problem. Of like, and
yeah,
like,
there's some weirdness.
What a hard shot that is to make. The fact that no cars were blown off the road. That there's no like, that it was a perfect thing. There was, you know, it's like.
See, the problem with conspiracy theories, though, is that whenever something bad happens, it's like. If something were to happen, no one's prepared for it to happen. So then once it happens, it's easy to be like, oh, well, how did that happen? But if it happened, it happened. You know, like Princess Diana's death. That's another one that people talk about conspiracy theories. Okay. You know, or what you just talked about.
JFK?
JFK. It's like all these things. It's just like things happen. So then it's easy to kind of look at and be like, well, how did that
happen? Yeah, exactly.
Happen?
That's the problem. That's why it doesn't keep me awake.
Yeah, but I feel like there's always a level of detail that the public just doesn't get. And that's, I think, where a lot of the conspiracy theories start to kick in, where it's like they don't release full reports on all this stuff for national security. Maybe it's for altruistic reasons or not altruistic, but good reasons, right? Like maybe they don't want to give details out in ongoing investigations, things like that. But that's where I feel like it starts to open up a little bit of a wedge with the public where you're like, wait a minute, how is that even possible? Where there is an answer for it, they just can't share that with you.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck. And then the crazies start to come out like me. Aliens are real.
Well,
Rick.
The way I always gauge conspiracy theories is, and why I don't believe in the 9/11 conspiracy theories, regardless of like whatever, you know, a lot of the science is weird anyway about it, but is you just have to look at it rationally. Like simplest explanation tends to be the right one, but also like how many people are involved in the conspiracy. So for a conspiracy to be true, everyone has to keep the secret. So like the moon landing conspiracy was always nonsense because that would have involved thousands of people, including the Soviets, by the way, who tracked the fucking ships going to the moon, you know, and would have loved if we didn't actually go. They would have fucking said that in 2 seconds. They know we went because they watched it happen. Right. You know, so it was like the Soviets were in on it, too. Mm-hmm. Like we embarrassed them, but they're in on it. OK. And then everyone in NASA's in on it and the executive branch is in on it. This involves thousands of people. You know, Kubrick's in on it, by the way, as well, since he's the one who, you know, is the one who filmed or whoever, you know, I think it was Kubrick, right? They used to say was the one who filmed. They thought would.
The one that actually filmed the fake moon landing. Yeah.
So it's like, OK, so everyone's. So I'm like, all right, that doesn't make any sense. And now with the moon landing conspiracies are so fucking stupid now because we can like I've said before, you can point a fucking telescope at the moon and see the evidence that we were there.
It's a hologram.
So like that. So
you know, the moon doesn't even exist.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
True. It's so actually gets bigger.
So we were there. The same thing with the Pearl Harbor one is interesting because we did want to get in. And when Pearl Harbor happened.
Is that a conspiracy so much as it just is like a lack of information? Like. Would it be considered a conspiracy if
we let it happen? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it would.
It's definitely a conspiracy. It cost thousands of lives, too. But it was, you know, because Churchill was the one who said, like, you know, finally, like, you know, paraphrasing, like, finally the Americans are going to get in. Because, like, people forget or just don't know, like, we were very neutral. Like, we were chaotically neutral in during, like, the early 20th century. Like, we did not get involved in shit. That was how it was. So there's cause to expect that they would need something terrible to happen. And the Nazis were not going to do it. So we needed the Japanese to do it to us because the Japanese had interest. We have an oil embargo in Japan. So like they're in a lot of trouble. And if you guys can read about it, I'm not going to get too into that, but we really strangled the shit out of the Japanese economy. And they had, that was their imperative. They, you know, they attacked the Philippines and everything at the same time. So there's something to it. But again, I just don't believe it because of how many people must have been involved,
mm-hmm.
you know, from state, from the Department of Defense or Department of War to, you know, the executive branch, the military. Everyone like was in on this, you know, like the people that were reading the radars, everyone just, you know, so like, again, like it doesn't make any sense.
But I mean, think about how many people are sitting in the NSA right now that are privileged to that kind of information every day that don't leak. Right. Like, it's amazing that we've only had one gigantic, massive leak come out of that organization in the last however many decades.
Well, sure. But it's different now, too. Like when Snowden leaked everything, he had a flea. But when Deep Throat leaked a bunch of shit, he stayed exactly where he was because it was different. The technology was different. It was harder to track people. Yeah, dead drops were way easier to do. So, but the reason that I believe the JFK, there's something up with the JFK is it doesn't involve that many people. If like you,
well, not only that, but they also started killing people too. It's like that. It's like that old school first rule of assassination: kill the assassin. Like that's what they did.
Yeah, they
literally that's what they did.
Yeah, he was alive for like a day. So
didn't Ruby die early in prison?
Ruby was in prison for a while. And there's all sorts of he died I think later in prison, but he started saying some shit too. And that was like the so the reason I believe in that is like the JFK assassination, if it really happened, depending on who might have been responsible for it, if it is indeed a conspiracy, may have only involved a few people.
Mm.
You know? And an organization like, say, the mob, which was one of the organizations that might have, you know, is assumed to maybe have some conspiratorial, you know, relation to it with JFK or whatever, is known to keep their secrets. So it's not like this involves departments of government and all this kind of stuff. This might involve an assassin, a few people.
Well, wasn't one of the theories
LBJ
why the mob was involved with it because of the Bay of Pigs? Didn't they utilize some of the mob's resources to go down there, and then Kennedy totally fucked everyone over, and they were like, "Well, we got to kill this guy now." Or was it different? Was there something else that went through it?
There's like a million of them. The one that I find most convincing has to do with LBJ and just like weird shit. Dallas being a perfect place to do it since it's in the Deep South. There's some animosity towards Northern Catholics, you know. There's a lot of like weird stuff, and I want to be clear that I'm not saying that it happened like this. I'm just saying that it's out of all of these different things, this is really one of the more interesting ones to me because, and why I pay attention to it, why I like to read about it, just because it's the most plausible of all of the major conspiracy theories that I can think of. The 9/11 one doesn't make any sense to me because, again, all the people involved in having, like, you know, controlled explosions in the buildings, putting bombs in the buildings beforehand. Like, this involves fucking lots of people. Like, I don't trust that no one would say anything. I think that there's some weird shit that happened on 9/11 for sure. I think that fourth plane was shot down, like, in Shanksville. I think that a fighter pilot shot that fucking plane down.
Yeah, but that's understandable why you wouldn't tell the public that, right?
Like, right, but
I don't necessarily, I mean, as we have a right to know, but at the same time, I can imagine being put in that position as, like, as the president and going, you know what? The nation does not, like, this, we might want to wait on this one a little bit.
Well, they're never going to, they'll never admit it. But the reason that I'm convinced that that happened or that that's plausible is, again, because no one's involved in this decision. There's one fighter pilot, maybe a few planes, so a few fighter pilots, the people that make the decisions in the military and the executive branch, that's it. So it's not like saying, like, go into the building a week beforehand, set the explosions. Did anyone see you? All these people are now involved. The people that sent you the orders are now involved. The people that made the bombs are involved. And now we have to involve the terrorists that came in from Portland and Boston. Then this is way too crazy. After the fact, it's believable that pilots were dispatched and they shot down anything that was in the air, you know? I 100% believe that happened to that Shanksville plane.
Yeah.
Regardless of the story they fabricated about it, whether or not I'm saying fabricated in quotes because it could have happened. I mean, that was supposed to be a very like uplifting.
Was that when
the
people
took over the plane? Yeah. But I just don't know that that's really the case.
The wreckage was spread over like too far.
So then, what do you think of the phone calls and such to that the people on the plane made to their family?
Yeah, this is where the conspiracy gets complicated because then this involves more people. But there could be all sorts of like false flag shit going on during this. But again,
think about when people like our government, the fact that they're running black ops around the world right now. Think about how many people are involved in that, and think about how little the public knows about those things. Right? This is an organization that the military is an organization that's supposed to be keeping secrets. It's supposed to be covert. It's supposed to be like it's not founded on the tenets of transparency with the public. So I don't think it's beyond the realm of doubt that you could keep a secret of this magnitude, considering when you start going back and looking at some of these like black ops missions that like Navy SEALs did in Vietnam, or even the mission to go get Osama bin Laden. I mean, these are a lot of people that had to be involved in this in order for it to actually go off without a hitch, and they do. So I don't know.
But the bin Laden raid is not a secret.
No, but like
it was until it happened.
Right,
but it's not a secret. Like it happened. It's.
But there's a little bit of conspiracy behind that because a lot.
People don't think it happened.
Some people don't think it happened. Other people also think that they knew, they had an idea of where he was, and they were just waiting to go and get him until it was politically advantageous. But that's
that's one thing. And also, people think that like we got rid of his body, and there's no proof that we ever got him at all. But I think we got him.
I think it would have been a really
what up, motherfuckers?
People are missing the forest for the trees with that one. It would have been a super propaganda tool to release a picture of him dead. You know, so yeah, so that
like
so
that we killed him too prematurely, and then we just sat on it for a while. Like I always think that that's one of my weird unfounded theories. I'm like, I bet we knew him. I bet we found him like a month after it happened, killed him, and just sat on it for a while.
Well, we could have gotten him really quickly in like Tora Bora and all that kind of stuff. We acted quickly enough, but it's just
yeah. Because perfect example is like we got Saddam. That shit was everywhere. Remember we got that? Yeah, well, no, how many times did you see the shot of him like coming out of the fucking hole with his hair all fucked up and he's like, where am I? And then they showed his body being hung. I mean, that's
The video of him actually getting hanged was like really disturbing.
That was very disturbing.
Because you it's also even weird. It's hard to say, but even like my feeling on that was like, doesn't he like he's definitely a war criminal, he's definitely gonna get executed, but doesn't he deserve like due process? You know, like this yeah, almost this almost seemed like this almost seemed
I
like
he had a trial.
He did have a trial.
Yeah, it was a a kangaroo court, you know, like they should have went to the Hague or something. But and I say that not as someone who likes Saddam Hussein. No one likes Saddam Hussein. I'm just saying like you can't set terrible precedents where, you know, you let the people, you destroy a government, let his opponents try him and then just execute him like that. To me, I'm like, that's not justice. You know, like like when I saw that, I'm like, that's not a good look for us. Let that happen. We had nothing to do with it, but we let it happen. So,
but the verbiage the president was saying around that time too was very, very, very like, very, very harsh. Where he was like, he basically ordered the assassination of another dictator. It was very interesting to hear that. It was very interesting to hear I'm sorry, I'm mixing this up with Osama bin Laden. My apologies. When Osama bin Laden was found, he basically was like, yes, I ordered them to go in there. And
well, that's different. I mean, that's. Anyone would have taken a shot at Osama bin Laden.
I'm not saying
that Saddam Hussein's a good person. He's a fucking awful person. I'm just saying that was a little fucked up. Just the way that all went down, the way that video was released, and I don't know. It doesn't matter. But he's dead, and that's what he deserved. But anyway, I don't know if you guys have any things you want to bring up, because I mean, those are the ones that kind of stick out to me. Roswell, of course, is another one. But
aliens are always the ones that I'm fascinated by.
What did you think of the missile test then?
I find it highly suspect that there was a missile explosion 5 weeks after we found a Dyson sphere. Right, Kevin?
Highly suspect,
Kevin. No, I don't know. I mean, you never know. I feel like all those can be very easily explained with they are just testing new technology that occasionally goes awry, right? There's always the flying saucers and all that stuff.
In the middle of the night in Los Angeles.
I'm telling you, man. That's how you test it.
Yeah.
You gotta weave it out.
Everyone has a camera. Yeah, that's a great idea.
I didn't actually read the story on that. So what was the official word from
it was some missile.
It was a war game, I think.
Yeah.
Over Los Angeles. I'd be like, hey, stop doing that.
Yeah, it's not a good look. There's definitely something up with that. But that's not really a conspiracy theory. I mean, it is, but it's not what I'm like. Bad thing happens or interesting thing happens, or like the moon landing, good things happen, and then how can you deconstruct it to make it seem like it doesn't happen, and what is the motivation behind it? Obviously the motivation with the moon landing was huge. The motivation with JFK was nefarious but huge, depending on who you're talking to and what the motivation was. That's why it's so interesting to read, because and that's why one of the things that works against the JFK assassination is that being anything more than just a crazy person in a building is that there's just way too many motives for way too many groups. And so like, who is it? Who was it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but out of all of them, if someone were to like lay out 10 of these things or all of the ones we've talked about today and said like, which one is the one that was fucking not the way they told it, I would be like, JFK assassination.
Oh yeah.
One, 10 out of 10 times.
So here's a question then. We've talked about ghosts on this show. We've talked about aliens. We've talked about Bigfoot. I mean, not this episode, but the show, right? All the time. And I was talking about how much I used to love those shows about all these paranormal and things, da da da. Mm-hmm. But how technology and the camera and the video and the YouTube and the live streaming have crushed all that. I don't know about you. Like 9/11 seems like it was yesterday to me, but in reality, in terms of technology, it was a lifetime ago. Because of where we are, our conspiracy theories. At least in the way we're talking about them right now, a thing of the past, like, right. Cause I don't think there's like a conspiracy for 9/11 necessarily. I don't know. I want to know more about the Pentagon. I want video footage of what happened at the Pentagon. Right.
Well, what is the motivation for bombing the Pentagon?
I mean, that's what I'm saying is I've never thought through this theory. I think something weird happened there. I want to know why something weird happened there. But what I'm saying is like now, if that was to happen, there'd be 14 different angles of it. Right. Mm-hmm. When that fucking jet a few years ago bottomed out at SFO, I was like, well, I'm just going to wait for the footage. And sure enough, some random guy was on a hotel balcony shooting planes landing and had the whole crash on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it seems like you can't get away with anything anymore. There'd be footage everywhere.
But I think there, though, is the video fake or not? I think that's the new conspiracy theory of what's real when everyone has cameras and everyone has After Effects.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Nick, let's make a fake video.
We make fake videos every day.
But I mean a good one.
Okay. I think we made one last night.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't waste a lot of time thinking about conspiracy theories because I don't research things to begin with, so I really have no knowledge base, period. But yeah, I mean, I think that there is something to be said when there's a gigantic fireball in the sky. There's got to be a little more to that. I think it's natural curiosity. It's like, even if it was a military thing, like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
What happened?
I mean, I enjoy conspiracy theories because the people that get really into them, like, they're fucking whack jobs in the best way, where like they get so into it and they have such like proof and evidence and they're just like, how come this shit happened? Like the questions.
Yeah, no, it's
the questions are always like, you're right.
You sit there and you're like, that is a great point. Yeah. Why would that
but
be?
But it's like
that
the
way?
Problem is you can adapt it to literally anything. So going back to Loose Change, a couple years ago, the guys made the Star Wars Loose Change.
Oh, those guys. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Where they took
now,
Loose
right.
Change but then applied it to the
Empire.
Death Star.
Yeah.
And how the whole thing was a conspiracy theory. And that's fucking hilarious because everything they said was right. What was it called? Luke's Change, which is amazing.
That's really funny.
But yeah, like that video is so funny because it is the same as any of the conspiracy theory things, except it's about something that's make believe. Mm. I was gonna say made up. Make believe got stuck in there.
Mm. It's okay. It happens the best of us. Things get stuck in places all the time.
Oh yeah, like last night.
Okay, well, that was good. Stop it with the bon chicka wah wahs. All right, my topic. Mine, of course, comes from the community. I don't know why it would be, of course. This comes from patreon.com/kindoffunny. Thank you so much to TackTrack for going over there, supporting us, getting one of his topics read on the show. And, of course, thank you all. Yes, you. Thank you all for supporting us in the month of October. Here is the crawl of names for everyone who supported us on patreon.com/kindoffunny in October. But this is strictly about TackTrack. He writes in and says, albums and or songs that defined periods of your life. What albums did you play to death throughout your lives? What songs did you and do you currently listen to on repeat? Finally, what is the most embarrassing song you secretly loved? Tim, Greg, Nick, Colin, Portillo, and Kevin, you're the best. Now, we've done music recommendations recently. That was like 93 or 97 episode or whatever. Mm-hmm. This isn't that, though. This is very specifically songs that are or albums that are attached to moments in your life.
Yeah. Okay.
What springs to mind for you, Timothy?
So many. So damn many. I mean, you know, my formative years of becoming who I am, which I'd say is about around 13. So, you know, when I was in middle school, I think that's when I became who I am. And Reanimation by Linkin Park and Eminem's second and third albums. So Marshall Mathers LP and Eminem Show. Those definitely stick to that time. I want to give a real shout out to My Heart Will Go On.
Nice.
The Titanic soundtrack.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know Celine Dion.
Which that holds a very nice emotional resonance with me from when I was younger. Don't know why.
It was. Oh, knew it was epic and you knew the loves between
Jack
and Rose.
I enjoyed that a lot.
And great film.
That was like one of the first songs that I wanted to own.
Oh.
And I was very young when that happened.
Did you sing to it?
Of course. You kidding me? Yeah, duh.
Okay.
But I recorded that shit on the cassettes when it came on the radio. Shout out to Radio Disney.
I thought you said you recorded your young self singing along with the song. I'd like to hear that or see that.
I wish. On my fucking Home Alone 2 Talkboy.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, Talkboy.
Yeah, wow. That would have been real good. No, but then after that, it's all the same things. Like, the music recommendations kind of just come back. But Tone Deaf's first album, Archetype, and the extended fam album, Happy Fuck You Songs, when I was... So 2005 to 2007 era, like that, those things just fucking changed my life. And I was just like, holy shit, I love music. And that is when I started thinking I was better than everyone else. Cause I was like, I'm listening to this shit that's better than the shit you're listening to.
That's when you went hipster.
That's when I learned a lot about myself and who I am. And pushing through that to where I'm at now, where I realize I still love those things, but I'm not better than anyone else. Like, I just enjoy this. You know, and it's like other people can enjoy whatever the fuck they want to enjoy. And I think that that's an important learning curve that you got to get through. But at the time, I felt better than everyone.
Nice. Colin, what is the album title for Collective Soul with Gel and all that on there?
I don't remember. I can see the album cover.
Yeah, it was. And remember, the case was yellow.
Yeah.
They made a yellow case.
Yeah, I can see it.
The Yellow Submarine.
The Yellow Submarine by Collective Soul.
No, I can totally see it.
Hold on, hold on. Collective.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it self-titled?
Shine? Was that the album title, though?
Shine Bright, look at that.
I don't even know how to. I haven't looked up how to look.
Google the images.
I don't have Spotify. You know that.
Images.
I'll get it.
Image search.
The Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1, 2, 3, and 4 soundtracks also. That's just that whole time of my life defined. And the Gorillaz self-titled album.
Hints, allegations, and things left unsaid.
Yeah, that's it.
Happy, there you go. No wonder I don't remember that.
Said I got sunshine.
In a bag. So good. When I think of this, when this topic came through, like there's tons of songs and albums that stick out. And this Collective Soul album takes me back to fifth grade outdoor ed. When
I remember this, the guy shouting.
Which I'm sorry, I had a picture of you in outdoor ed that I'm gonna write down.
I have tons of photos that I will gladly go get for you, and they will be as ridiculous as you probably imagine them to be.
Yes.
Yes. Fifth grade outdoor ed, where it was like, you get, did everybody have outdoor ed?
Is I don't know what outdoor ed is.
We you know, suburbs of Chicago. Oh. No, not PE. Suburbs of Chicago. It was like your, it was our first overnight trip as a class somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Where we all piled
We call that Nature's Classroom.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
We drove up to Northern Illinois or Southern Wisconsin. I no longer remember.
That is some weird.
And there's like cabins and stuff like that. And you go and we made paper out of garbage and shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Paper out of garbage.
Paper out of garbage.
That's what it was like. Yeah. Where you, like, you went around and you got like fucking trees and shit and all this garbage. And then you fucking made it into, pressed it into paper. Pulp. Yeah. Stupid ass garbage. So you're supposed to remember fucking nature. Fuck nature is what I say.
I'm
but
with you.
No, and it was like, you know, but it was like on the bus ride up there, we were all like so stoked to be like going on this trip away from your parents. And there's like chaperones. It's like what you see in the movies, right? Or TV shows or whatever. And so, yeah, everybody had albums that, like, that we were trading around and doing stuff with. I remember one kid got in trouble because he made a point to show like the Offspring. What was it? What's that album? With the
Smash,
yeah. With the back and like all the fucking curse words on it and stuff like that. But yeah, I remember Collective Soul just rocking out to that shit. Like that was like
that's the jam. Awesome.
Like, so like whenever I hear one song from that, like like that takes me back to that moment. You know what I mean? Like that's like wrapped up in it.
Oh, wow.
And I've always talked about like Pinkerton for me was I had a summer with Matt Noel, and then I bought my SNES, and then I just went home and played Mario World over and over while listening to Pinkerton over and over again.
That's awesome.
And then the Jay and Silent Bob soundtrack for Strikes Back, got it the week before I went to Mizzou, and then got there and then listened to that, like, you know, my first time on my own, you know, again, away from parents or whatever, and then 9/11 happens, and everything becomes super important and weird, and like listening to that album over and over and over again, because it was such a good mix of just different stuff.
Yeah.
Nick?
Yeah. There's a lot of, well, this is an intricate one, guys. We have to unpack this a little bit.
All right, we're unpacking everybody.
Because you mentioned songs that you're embarrassed by. I'm embarrassed by every song I listen to, largely because I don't know who the artist is and I don't know the actual lyrics. More often than not, I just guess Drake.
You're with him, so that's probably right.
So, Jimmy, he's very popular right now, so maybe it's true. One of the most embarrassing songs, I think, in recent years that I listened to, not because I listened to it, but because I think one of my friends caught me listening to it on Spotify. This is when Spotify would like alert people like what you were listening to. And my friend's like, please stop listening to fucking Miley Cyrus. Like, stop. Whatever that, you know, sweating like a sweater girl, a lot of sweat. Hands in the air like she's sweating. I don't know.
That's it. You're nailing it. Keep going. Because we can't sweat so much now. Somebody gonna sweat somewhere, some now sweat.
Okay. I can't remember the lyrics.
You never remember the lyrics. None of those were real lyrics.
It's not? You told me I nailed it. There's a lot of albums I think that I remember. I don't really recall any ones that stick. I guess Blood Sugar Sex Magik was a huge album for me. Chili Peppers. That I listened to a lot. I only had like three albums as a kid. I had Smells Like Teen Spirit. Which was, is that the name of the album?
Nevermind
was the name of the album. And then what was Pearl Jam's 10? No. Yes.
Pink one. Yeah.
Those are the three albums I remember when I was a kid. And then I remember my brother had this album that was, I guess it was Rage Against the Machines. Was it self-titled? The first one with the guy on fire?
Yep.
That shot of the monk on fire?
Yep.
That
fucking
was
seminal record.
Fuck. That was so good.
Oh, that's a good record.
He used to play that a lot for me, and I was like, this is amazing. So those, there were those. I mean, I just, whenever I think of actually a time that defined my life, it was the early 90s, just because that was when I was actually becoming aware of what the fuck was happening around me and music and all that stuff. I do remember specifically listening to the Batman soundtrack. No, not Batman Forever. That was actually when it got good, when Seal was like,
yeah, Seal's like, fucking, let's wreck this.
It's funny because that was the song I was going to say. It was like, I'm not really ashamed of it, but that song is fucking awesome.
Oh, it's good.
Everything about that song is awesome. The composition, the lyrics. Everything about it is
just remote.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's like a perfect song.
No, it is a perfect song. It fucking is a perfect song.
Did he write that for the movie? Is that the backstory? Did they like just come to him, or did he already have that going, and then that just?
I didn't even know it was in the movie.
I mean, the video for it is all the is like him on a building and
Batman doing
pretty seminal video from like you were kind of young when that came out. You were like 5 when that came out.
I'm talking about the original Bat Dance by Prince. I had the single, and then you flipped it over. It was another weird song, and I never listened to it. I just listened to the shit out of it. And my mom was like, "You really like that song?" And I'm like, "No, I don't." But it's the only thing I have right now before Batman comes out.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to. And then they played the music video, and it was like fucking Prince, like with little bat wings. And it was so weird. And I'm like, I don't fucking like this at all.
I
didn't even like Prince. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy?
Give it to us, Nick.
And like,
thank you.
You know? And.
This reminds me, I gotta download Raspberry Beret.
Oh no, I like Prince now. Don't get me wrong.
I know. I'm
love Prince now.
Gotta remember to get that.
He's an amazing artist.
Computer Blue.
Oh my god.
You gotta get two in a row sometimes.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, no, music was never crazy my thing, but yeah, there are some.
See, that's the thing, is like music's not crazy my thing either, but there's just those things of that you hear that and it takes me back immediately. You know what I mean? Yeah. I always talk about Hey Ya, right? Like in college, right? Like I talk about this all the time. We throw all house parties, you know, 4 days a week or whatever.
I love the thought of you listening to that song.
Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Like, we had a shitty boombox, right? We had this dumbass boombox or whatever that, you know, we had fucking people would come on and put party mixes on there. And like when that, I'll never forget being mid Caps game, and it was a heated Caps game, and there's like 30 people in this tiny shitty house or whatever. And when that song came on, everything stopped. Everyone stopped playing Caps and just jumping around being a fucking asshole. You know what I mean?
They're all shaking it like a salt shaker.
That was that double album, right?
Yeah.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Such a goddamn
idiot.
Disappointment.
Yeah, I remember no one. I remember a lot of my friends being like, "This album."
That was the beginning of the end.
Mother's Milk, was that another album?
Yeah, that's an early Chili Peppers. That's a pre
Milk and album.
No, that's a seminal Chili Peppers.
Blood Sugar Sex Magic is one I'm thinking of.
Mother's Milk is the one before it. Yeah, you're not thinking of Mother's Milk.
I'm not thinking of Mother's Milk.
Yeah, I don't think you would know Mother's Milk.
I don't think I do.
I don't know. You guys say music's not your thing. I grew up in a very musical household. It's very important to my family. So I mean, depending on the time and place you're talking about, just talking to a friend of mine recently about how like my three siblings and my parents all introduced me to different music that I think my musical taste is like super eclectic. I think you'd have a really hard time finding anyone who has more eclectic
How's
musical taste than me.
How's Ghost BC doing for you?
Awesome. Ghost is awesome. But like I love almost everything. Like you're not gonna find a person like it's not like I'll casually listen to this. Like I really love like all this random shit. And I think it's just from the way I grew up. So we were talking about Days of Future Past by the Moody Blues, which is like a really fucking awesome record. I mean, that reminds me of my dad and that reminds me of being really young. That's like one of the first bands Moody Blues was like the first band I ever remember listening to. And I think I told a story about how my parents bought a Crown Victoria and they put the tape in. This was not for Days of Future Past, though. This was that weird like new wave-ish album that they released in like the mid-80s. And I remember listening to one of the Moody Blues songs, and they're the first band I remember hearing. A lot of Beatles records for my mom, Sgt. Pepper and Magical Mystery Tour, especially those albums are really important to me. It reminds me of my driving back and forth to hockey games with my mom. As far as like my own music is concerned, Green Day's Dookie and No Doubt's Tragic Kingdom are super important records to me. I know every fucking inch of those albums in terms of the drums and in terms of Trey Cool. I can keep up way better with Adrian Young than Trey Cool, but I just know those albums very well. And again, they remind me of hockey and locker rooms, and just we would put on those albums and get dressed up and get hyped up or whatever with those records. And I remember those a lot. Every 311 album was an event for me. I remember getting Blue Album and Transistor and going back and getting Music and Grassroots, which were their earlier albums. And Sound System came out October 12th, 1999. I remember it was 2 days before my birthday. I remember my dad went and got it for me and it was like part of my early birthday present. I remember cutting class that day with my girlfriend at the time. And she was in 11th grade, I was in 10th grade, and we like went to this like stairwell like that no one went to in school and just like listened to the album.
That's awesome. That's a great one.
I remember that like yesterday. She and I went to nothing happened. I was too young and stupid to take the hint, and she was too. She and I are good friends. We went to Northeastern together and everything. We knew each other for a long time. Let's see. A great memory I have. Dredge is one of my favorite favorite bands, and their album LCL is arguably my favorite album of all time. And I will never forget when I heard it for the first time. Ramon showed it to me, and I remember we were roommates in college, and he started playing this song. The song was called Sanzen. Mm-hmm. I turned around. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? And he's like, it's Dredge. You want to hear? And I remember just laying on my bed and listening to this record all the way through. It's a concept album, and it's really awesome. It reminds me of that time. There's a great band that no one's heard of called Open Hand, released this album called You and Me. That's not on Spotify, unfortunately. A lot of their other stuff is. And that album really reminds me of the summer of 2005. It's very emotional. It's very sad. Because I was emotional and sad in 2005 as I am in 2015. There's little different touchstones like that. But I mean, I can go on and on. Weezer's Blue album reminds me of my sister's old boyfriend Skip, who bought it for me, because he was a guitar teacher, and he actually helped buy my first drum kit because he worked at a music store, and I remember driving around with him. He had like a Camaro or something, and we used to listen to the Blue album, and
this guy sounds awesome.
And
yeah.
Skip's cool.
Yeah, he used to go to Taco Bell and stuff like that. He was like really cool to me. Like he was 6 years older than me. I used to think I was in 5th grade, and he was in like 11th grade, and I used to think
he was the coolest,
and I remember him buying me a copy of the Blue album. It was like 95 or 96, so it was like a couple years after it came out.
Nice. Yeah, for me, I mean, like you're bringing up old stuff that I'm thinking of too. Like when I think I looked it up, Carole King, It's Too Late or whatever, like that takes me right back to the motorhome, because my parents had a Carole King tape that they would put in and just listen to over and over and over again. And then this still always cracks me up that my mom liked Carly Simon a lot, right? And Carly Simon, of course, You're So Vain, like a huge hit or whatever. Yeah. But she didn't have that. When she got the Mustang and had a CD player, she bought like Carly Simon's newest album and listened to it over and over. So I have so many I know that album start to finish of all these Carly Simon songs no one's ever heard. But I remember distinctly driving around in the summer in our suburb of Chicago with the top down on this Mustang listening to that.
Yeah. That's good. For me, though, I think really thinking about this and hearing Colin talk, the biggest example of this question to me is anything by the Rolling Stones, because my dad was like obsessed, and my mom too, obsessed with the Rolling Stones. So like growing up, that's just those songs on repeat, like all the albums, every single song. And it's like, it's such an intense correlation between the two things that like when I hear any Rolling Stones song, I can smell weed. Like I can smell my dad.
You're probably not the only person.
Like, but it's just weird. Like it just reminds me of my dad's room and just talking to him, or just being with him, just being around him, and just the smell that I didn't know was weed at the time.
Yeah.
But like that was my dad. But it's just like it's so weird that when I hear it, like I almost don't hear the Rolling Stones perform that song. I hear my dad singing it.
Mm.
You know, and it's such a weird thing.
No, that's the Carole King thing. I hear my mom sing it.
Yeah.
Did you guys have, was it a thing for you, right? Did you ever have that person in your life that had the fucking subwoofer in the back of their car?
Yeah, like everyone I went to high school with.
Was it? Okay. So that was me too. Except for me. I had a hatchback. I was like, it's not going to work. It's a sky blue 88.
Oh, dude, it shouldn't stop you. I knew a dude that had a station wagon with a subwoofer in the back. Okay. So he was balling out.
My brother was heavy into it, and my buddy Stu was heavy into it.
Stu!
Big Stu. And when Stu got one in his Jetta, it was like an old school Jetta. It was his dad's Jetta. It was this is even pre-Jetta. Like you look at this body type and you're like, that is one of those weird like Volkswagen cars that only hippies and German people drove for the longest time. But Stu loved it and he took great care of it. He got like slamming rims on it and like lowered the fucking thing so it couldn't go over speed bumps.
Nick's buddy Stu and with them slamming rims.
Dude. And one of the things he got was he got that big fucking nasty subwoofer in the back. Mm-hmm. It's like those two, the big box that basically made your trunk useless.
Yeah.
You just open it up and you could squeeze maybe a baseball bat in there. That was fucking it. And I was like, this is cool. And then I think it was around the same time, and I might be mixing up my dates, that he got that car in the subwoofer that Prodigy became a thing. You guys remember Prodigy?
Firestarter.
The album with the crab on it.
Yeah.
Fat of the Land, it was called.
And like that point where your fucking ears would just blow out.
Yeah.
I just remember rolling with Stu and I'd be like, it would finish And we'd pull up to a stop sign, and I'd be like, did you want? He's like, yeah, we'll do it one more time. And hit repeat on that song. And we'd just keep fucking listening to Firestarter.
Yeah.
Like a
you are the Firestarter.
Twisted Firestarter.
Those guys were fucking weird. I bought that.
Weird.
I remember buying that album up. And Wallflower is Bringing Down the Horse on the same day in the summer of 1997. I love that record. That Prodigy record is awesome. That's also a great album cover.
Around that time was Blue by Eiffel 65.
It was. No, like a year later, I think Eiffel 65, I think was, what, 98? I think I fucking hate that song.
I love that song.
That song is maybe, and I'm not even being facetious, maybe the worst song ever.
Which one's Blue?
It almost sounds like a joke. Like the verses, like not so much the chorus or the composition, but like the verses. I'm like, are you fucking
the verses
kidding
are
me?
Horrible. The composition's fucking dope though.
No,
that piano, that fake ass piano, the electric piano.
But it's like, why? Like sick. He's like. And it's I'm like, oh my god! I remember hearing that song and like, I'm like, this shit sucks.
That's how I felt with Shaggy's "You're My Angel." I thought that was a joke. Like, I kept waiting for the parody. I was like, why is this guy singing like a frog? What is happening?
Wasn't the Blue song in like Iron Man or something?
Iron Man 3 opened with it because it was like a period thing.
And everyone fucking lost their mind. You guys were like, oh my god, this is so exciting. This is a fucking poetry. And I was like, I hated this song then. I hate it now. I don't want to fucking listen to whatever
it was. Me and Alex Solovita, so you can imagine the excitement.
Oh, that song is fucking Aqua
Barbie Girl.
we were talking about the other day. The only redeeming quality about Barbie Girl was that girl was really hot. The other one is
We Like to Party. By the
We Like to Party.
I'm down on that.
There was a lot of weird shit going on in the late 90s, and these like just really bad one-off singles.
There's still a lot of weird shit going
there is
on.
But it was a different time where singles like Macarena is a good example where there were still albums, but god help you can name another one of those
Mambo
guys.
Number Five.
They weren't selling, like, it wasn't iTunes like where you're selling dollar singles. Like, these tracks were selling, making these fucking albums, these arbitrary bullshit albums, go platinum like five or six times. I'm sure there's some fucking songs out there that made some of these things go diamond, which is an insane kind of like amount of sales.
Like the hamster dance.
It's like, holy Christ,
like,
man.
Nonsense. The Rembrandts, right? When they did the Friends theme song. Yeah. Suddenly everyone had that fucking album.
Yeah, it's
we still have that, right? We have, what was the Gundam Style? That's another one of those.
Right,
like,
but that I mean, that singles, I mean, that guy made millions of dollars, but, and that song I would argue is actually pretty good. Like, what all things considered, because it's self-aware of how bad it is.
I guess it I think about it now, like, that sound is actually kind of dope, and then you watch the video and you're like,
the video gives it away. The video totally gives it away that it's totally self-aware that it's bad. I don't think when the guys, those old ass men made Macarena, what were they called?
Art,
OMD? No, that was not OMD. It's Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, which is a great 80s band. But it was something. Oh, Los Rios Boys? Or
Los Rios Boys.
No, is that it? No, that's a different band. That's a different band.
Kevin's on it. He's on the Chive right now. Kevin, get off the Chive. Get off
phones.
Reddit/R.
Because weren't Los Rios Boys like a legitimate.
No, look up Los Lobos Boys.
Los Lonely Boys. So maybe you're right. Yeah, Los Lonely Boys.
Look up Rio de Janeiro.
Hey, Google. Look up Macarena artist.
Okay, Google. Text Paula. Show me pictures of
this
your
This is
flesh.
A true story. This sounds like I'm making this up, but this is a true ass fucking story. When I was young, I was convinced that the Macarena was made by Kevin's mom's friends.
Because they did it so much every time anywhere.
That's racist.
Every time I was at your house. No. She acted like they were fucking best friends. Like, the way that Kevin's mom was pushing the goddamn Macarena, she was proud of that thing. Like, it
Maybe
was one of those
Peruvian.
Things where it's like, I could have sworn it was like her friend's thing that she was like, no, this is fucking awesome.
The Macarena was the
worst
thing.
What's the answer, Kevin?
Oh my god, I could have found
you
this answer.
You put Macarena into Google. Well, Macarena Wikipedia page.
Don't touch me.
Macarena Wiki.
He doesn't use Google because he's on an Android phone. They have their own special Google.
Is that true?
True at all.
Isn't that how your phone works, Kevin?
It's not like I type my
Los Del Rio.
Los Del Rio. Thank you, iPhone.
I was close.
I don't know. The other thing that's funny, I was thinking, is my love of hip hop from when I was really young, which comes from my siblings. I remember my brother used to bring me to the mall. I was 8 maybe, and he was like 20, and he would come home from college or whatever, and he had this like shitty fucking Geo that he'd drive, and he wouldn't take me anywhere unless I looked cool, so he'd put me in like, he'd take like these old skater jeans that he had and like cut them so I'd fit in them, and like put me in like an Adidas shirt and like old Adidas or whatever that, and make me, and then we'd listen to like Midnight Marauders or you know Balloon Mind State or one of these really old great hip hop records. which is, and we go to the arcade and play like Mortal Kombat or something like that.
Yeah.
So those things remind me of that. Also, shout out to De La Soul's Stakes is High, which is the best hip hop album of all time.
It's fucking amazing. There's so many moments like that that I'll never forget. This is not music, but I will never forget when we were at IGN and it was announced that Disney bought Star Wars.
Yeah.
Finding out that they announced they're making 7, 8, and 9. And the first thing I did was call Kevin and be like, dude, did you hear? And he's like, no. Disney just bought Star Wars. They're making 7, 8, and 9. And it was just like a fucking experience where we're like, I can't believe this is happening. But like my first thought was to fucking call him. Bringing it back to music, I'll never forget when the song Forever by Drake, Kanye, Lil Wayne, and Eminem came out. It came out of fucking nowhere. And this was the first time Eminem had like really released anything of a real, any like was even featured on a song for years after Relapse. So he had 3 albums that were fucking classics. Then he comes out with Encore and it was like, oh, this is bad. Then he came out with Relapse that was like, oh no, this is you're going down a fucking damn bad path. And then all of a sudden this Forever comes out and it's like, okay, these are all the hottest people in the mainstream game right now. There's got to be something here. I remember listening to it. And then Eminem's verse, he comes at the end and he just fucking tears it apart, like destroys it. And I was like, holy shit, I can't believe that just happened. I called my brother. I'm like, dude, you need to come home right now. Like, stop what you're doing. You need to fucking come home now. I didn't even tell him what it was. And I just pressed play on the song, made him listen all 3 verses before I got to it. And he's like, whatever, it's just a fucking song. And then Eminem came on, he heard, and he just knew. I didn't even need to tell him. He was just like, holy shit. And like, you need to listen to that verse. Eminem fucking kills it, and he has not done anything even close since.
Didn't he have sex with Christina Aguilera?
That was a long
no,
time
they
ago.
Had a fight.
Didn't he have sex with Britney Spears?
I think Fred Durst had sex with Christina Aguilera.
Did Fred Durst have sex with Eminem?
Probably. I suspect that they don't like each other very much. By the way, shout out to Limp Bizkit.
How do they not like each other anymore?
Oh, Limp Bizkit was Limp Bizkit was a fucking cultural phenomenon.
Hell yeah, that's the one band cultural where I'm phenomenon. Like, where Limp Bizkit sucks. I'm like, fuck you. We all love
Limp
Bizkit.
We
all
loved
Limp Bizkit, and you know what? I still love
if
Limp Bizkit. $3 Bill, y'all, and Significant Other and Hot Dog Flavored Water are fucking seminal high school records.
What was rolling on? What?
Hot Dog Flavored Water.
I remember because that was another one where that when I turned
6,
18
if I remember correctly.
In that like that weekend I turned 18 for some reason I went out with some friends or whatever and I remember borrowing the mom's Mustang, the drop top Ford Mustang, and driving around listening to Roland over and over again. Yeah. You talk about repeating a song, like Undertaker was coming out to it, so it was the hotness.
That's an underrated underrated record. It was very produced, but it was really good. There's really good songs on that. Boiler is like a really good song. My Way is a really good song. I
Break Stuff.
Break Stuff's on like Significant
My
Other.
Way or the Highway.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Someday
is that on Hot Dog?
No.
Oh,
no.
Break
What's the opening of
Hot Dog? Is the opening of Hot Dog Flavor Water?
Man,
the one where he says "fuck over" chocolate covered starfish.
That's Hot Dog chocolate starfish and a Hot Dog Flavored Water. Is
but
the,
what is
the
rolling album? On?
I thought there were two. Rolling is on Hot Dog Flavored Water.
I thought there were two albums. I thought their second
album. No, Chocolate Starfish. No, the first album is $3 Bill, y'all.
All right.
That's the one with Faith on it.
I love
The
Faith.
Significant Other is the second album. That's the one with like Nookie and Break Stuff and Rearranged.
Oh, that's
the
right.
The third album is.
That was a big one. I did it all for the Nookie.
Yeah,
that was a big one.
I mean, Chocolate Starfish, I think, was even bigger. And that's the one with Roland and My Generation and My Way. Or not My Way. No, My Way's on there. And Boiler. And then West left, and then it was Results May Vary, which was that weird record that everyone hated. But there that Limp Bizkit will always remind me of high school because everyone fucking loved Limp Bizkit and Korn and POD fucking Hybrid Theory was
amazing
when that came out fall 2000 that album hit. Everyone fucking loved that album.
What's so funny is for me, Break Stuff was on it because I got some jank ass mix CD that was just a bunch of Limp Bizkit things.
Oh.
But someone wrote Hot Dog Flavored Water in fucking permanent marker on it. So to me,
to you, that was
that
how I
was
gotcha.
Track one.
Yeah, been there. I've been there for sure.
Oh no, yeah. Break Stuff is. I remember that video very well. So those albums remind me of like and fucking Slipknot. That first Slipknot record reminds me of high school. Reminds me of my friend in his Subaru fucking station wagon with his sub, and he would, but he never played hip hop. He'd always play like Lost Prophets or fucking you can't talk about Lost Prophets anymore at all because of what happened with that singer. Like I haven't. Do you guys know any of this stuff?
No.
Lost Prophets was like a really.
What's Lost Prophets?
Lost Prophets, I really loved Lost Prophets, and I haven't listened to them once in like because I can't listen to them anymore. Their singer like went away to prison for like abusing and like sexually assaulting or something like underage girls at shows and stuff like that, like for years. And like I'll find the information for you because I don't want to get it lost. But when that happened, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like I loved
that happened recently, right? I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. And so people really loved that first Lost Prophets record where I was from, and you know, obviously like the Long Island bands were really big where I was from too. So like people really loved Glassjaw, that first Brand New record, those first two Brand New records. People really liked Taking Back Sunday, obviously. Billy Joel was fucking massive to everyone. I mean, Billy Joel's like an icon where I'm from. So
was it the Blink 182 album?
Ian Watkins is the guy.
The Nurse.
Yeah,
that's the second record. Yeah,
man, I don't remember one Blink 182 song, but I remember that album.
You remember
Criminal Charge, attempted rape of a child under 13, sexual assault of a child under 13, taking, making, or possessing indecent images of children, possessing an extreme pornographic image involving a sex act on an animal. That's yeah. It says Ian David Carslack Watkins is a Welsh musician and convicted sex offender. Watkins achieved prominence as a founding member, lead vocalist, and lyricist of the rock band Lost Prophets. Lost Prophets disbanded in 2013 after Watkins was charged with sexual offenses in late 2012. In November 2013, he pleaded guilty to 13 charges, including the attempted rape and sexual assault of a child under 13. These offenses were committed against the infant children of two fans who were also convicted. He is currently in HM Prison Long Larton, serving 29 years.
Holy shit.
So like once that happened, because I really, you know, a lot of my friends really like those, especially those first two Lost Prophets records. Although I think I actually reviewed the third Lost Prophets record for IGN Music back in the day.
Mm.
And once that happened, I'm like, I mean, how can you in good conscience ever listen to them ever again? You know,
it's hard. It's hard for me to watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off because Rooney got convicted.
Did he?
Yeah.
Went down. Rooney. Jeffrey, I forget the actor's name.
Also Howard the Duck. He was in Howard the Duck.
That was heartbreaking. Heartbreaking for me. Came around though. I still watch the movie.
It's disgusting. Like what some of these
you overcame.
It's like a dark turn.
You overcame.
It's
Nick.
My favorite movie of all time. I'm like, yeah, this fucking sucks. But his performance in it is good. It's unfortunate.
Just took a dark turn, but yeah, it's disgusting. Like what people like. I feel like, you know, you see
what do
someone
you want
like
to say? It's a good movie.
No, it's just
I didn't know at the time the guy was diddling kids.
Like it went from just the hilarious. Now any word that starts with an H, you add four H's before it starts.
What did I do in that sentence?
Hilarious.
Yeah, I don't remember. You said something that starts with an H that was not hilarious.
Tim, you're mistaken.
And earlier for Ouija, you added it.
Ouija. Isn't that how it's spelled?
What?
Ouija?
Holy
with
shit.
With a bunch of O's?
Anyway, what I was trying to say was that it's weird to see. It's weird like when you are really into a band. I remember seeing that first Lost Prophets, you know, talk about memories. I remember seeing the Lost Prophets video for Shinobi versus Dragon Ninja, which was like their first single, and that fucking song was really, really awesome. I was in high school. I remember seeing that with my friend Jeff, and he had like a finished basement. I was like, who the fuck are these guys? It was on MTV2 or whatever. And I went and, you know, got the record, and it's just weird, like you don't know who these fucking people are.
Yeah.
Like you really don't know who these fucking people are.
Let's also be like, let's be clear about something though, like it's very, very dangerous looking up to rock stars. That's just the way it goes. Like, these guys aren't the moral leaders that we all want to make them out to be. Now, they're actors.
Except for Usher.
Sure.
Thank you, Nick.
No, but sure. you know what I was thinking? I was having an interesting conversation about the Lost Prophets specifically with a friend of mine not too long ago. I think it was actually with Ramon, where we were talking about the other guys in the band had no idea that this was happening. Like, the other five guys in the
band.
How
do you not know what's happening?
Well, I mean, they all live their private lives. I mean, let's assume they're telling the truth. I assume that they're telling the truth.
I have no idea what Tim's bedroom looks like.
So, but what I was saying was, like, that guy...
I do.
That guy demolished their entire livelihood.
Yeah.
You know, no one is ever going to... That name is done. No one's ever going to buy a Lost Prophets record again. No one's ever going to see them touring.
You can't trade on that. You can't be like, I used to be a member of Lost Prophets.
Yeah, like, they own those songs. Whoever... He wasn't, I don't think, one of the songwriters. So, like the people with songwriting credits on their songs are done. Like... It was like, not only did he like hurt these people and hurt these kids and like fuck up their lives or whatever, he also like fucked all the people that he was associated with professionally and like all their years of hard work where they were building a catalog and building a fan base and a following and all this kind of stuff just totally thrown out the window. And it's just amazing. The point I'm trying to make is like they didn't even know him. You know what I mean? Like they didn't even know him and they were in the band with him for 15 years or whatever.
But like on some level, if he's doing that shit at the concerts, like you don't see that. You don't know that's happening. Like, you know, there's on some level. Like,
I don't know if he was charged for anything
like,
to happen at a concert.
I'm going to turn a blind eye to this. Similar to like, what was the football, college football stuff that was happening at
Penn State.
Penn State. Like that shit. Like people knew and they were just like, this guy really wins a lot of games for us. So we're just going to, was it the coach?
Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah. Assistant coach.
Yeah. And, you know, he died, though, right? He ended up having a heart attack and dying, like, right afterward.
Yeah, he's dead now. Conspiracy. I don't know what he died of, but, yeah, he did die.
I don't know. It's conspiracy, and I don't want to know the answer to that. If someone put a fucking bullet in him, that's fine. But
Seriously. I mean, this guy's serving 29 years now from this band. Hopefully they're fucking really hard 29 years.
I'm sure they are.
Hopefully they're real hard.
Because
that's bullshit.
Yeah, I always just thought about like that he didn't only hurt these fucking innocent kids and their families and all this kind of stuff, but like totally just blew this whole thing up for these other innocent, presumably. I believe them that they don't know. Sure. I mean, why would you know? But they might not even really like each other. They all play in a band. That's they probably true. Hate each other.
Look at Holland Oates.
Sure. But like I had a conversation where I'm like, someone brought that out. I think it might have been Ramon. I don't know. He'll remind me. He listens to the show. But where he was like, we were talking about. I'm like, yeah, that's crazy. Like, those guys are done.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like what happened with Sublime, where they play with a new singer, or with Alice in Chains, where they play with a new singer or whatever because the singer died or something like this. Is like a tainted whole catalog of music because he wrote the lyrics and he's singing them. And
yeah,
and it's just interesting to think about. I mean, it's not the most important thing, but it's certainly an interesting thing.
No, yeah, I mean, there's a good moral there, right? That if you're a core member of a group, you should think about the other member of the group and not do anything, I don't know, legal. Could maybe screw up everything they've ever worked for.
Why are you looking at me?
What? I don't know. You're
my life is an open book. If I was going to do something illegal, you'd know. You guys would be the first person to hear about it.
You're talking about it here on the show.
Your addiction to heroin.
Tim,
yes.
What's your topic?
I'd be a lot skinnier if I was addicted to heroin.
Tim, so, what's your topic?
My topic for the day is, if you can get arrested for anything,
mm-hmm.
but then kind of like have a get out of jail free pass.
So I can break.
You're unarrested.
I can break a law, whatever law I want.
Yeah.
And I get a pass.
You get out. What would you do?
I would kill Kevin. No, you wouldn't. I would try. He might beat me, but it would be a cat and mouse game until the end, buddy.
You might beat you.
Get out of jail free card.
Yeah, that's what. Whoever wins gets the card.
Oh yeah.
Whoever loses,
we don't actually get the card, Kevin. But if we did, I would hunt you down like the Red Dragon, my friend. I would just glue you to a chair and roll you down a fucking street on fire. You know what I mean?
It's a very complicated
just like a red
way
dragon
to kill him.
It's a great movie.
Did you not watch
that actually happens in the movie. And Manhunter. A little more visceral Manhunter.
We're talking about Red Dragon, the
yeah, the remake of Manhunter. Well, yeah. The book was called Red Dragon.
No, I thought, wait, I'm thinking of something different. I thought
it's all right. It's the same thing.
Manhunter. No, I thought Red Dragon was associated
Hannibal.
With Hannibal,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah, Manhunter was the original movie. They were going; it was based on the book Red Dragon, and they were going to call it Red Dragon, but for some reason they called it Audible at the end. And exact same movie. Separate. Manhunter? No, the only reason they called it Manhunter was because they thought Red Dragon had too many connotations for like kung fu or something like that.
I saw Red Dragon in the theater. That's the
Red reason. Dragon is a remake of Manhunter, and it is a prequel to the Silence of the Lambs.
I like Ed Norton. Anyway, go ahead.
Ed Norton's a good guy.
He's a good stand-up fellow. Tim, I would probably do what most people would do and rob a bank for a shit ton of money. You get out of jail, free pass.
Yeah, but they still take the money.
You could live it. Kind of get a ruling on this?
I don't know. I mean, that's...
Well, it's your topic. Yeah. Do I get to keep the money?
No. I mean, unless you get rid of it before they catch you, right?
Well, you bury it, right? You take it out to the desert, you bury it. You get a free jail, and then you go back to the fucking spot and dig it up, right? Mm-hmm.
Or they watch you for the rest of your life to be like, nope, there's the money.
They would never know. I would just put it in a safety deposit box and slowly take it out.
Okay.
If I don't get to keep the money, I'm not robbing a bank then. I probably wouldn't do it anymore.
That's the whole thing. I don't get this topic. Yeah, there's no crime I want to commit.
Really?
I'm playing Fallout right now, and I feel bad when the red thing, and I accidentally pick it up. I'm like, oh, fuck. I've stolen one item, and it was by mistake, and I was like, oh, god damn it.
You're a delicate
flower. I don't think there's anything bad. Yes, like, I wouldn't do anything that's like going to, you know, hurt people. Or anything. Like, I'm not killing anyone, or I'm not going to,
so what's
like,
the point? What law
like
gets
a
in
lot
your way
of little
so much.
Crimes that, like, I would just do.
Like jaywalking? You just jaywalk.
I mean, well, obviously.
I would fucking
but that's
love
the problem
that.
Is I don't
want to
like give it away on one bullshit thing. Like I feel like there's just a lot of little bullshit things, but that doesn't count. Like you don't get out of jail for I want to jaywalk 1,000 times, you know, or like little thefts. I'm okay with little thefts.
What does
like
that
what?
Mean?
Like you stole a fucking roller?
Like
I don't know.
Jug
like downloading
milk?
Music or download like you know online piracy. It's digital, so it's not real. But no, it's fucking stealing. But I'm okay with that right now. You know that doesn't even require a fucking get out of jail free thing.
Gotcha.
So I'm like. If I'm this morally ambiguous and fucking crazy that I'm downloading music and shit, what would I do if I could do a little bit more and it'd be okay? You know, I don't think it'd be that crazy. Steal a parade.
That doesn't make any sense.
It definitely doesn't.
I don't know about that.
No, I see
even a crime.
Saying.
If
no,
you
I
can take control
saying.
Of a parade, you become the parade master.
I think that's
Have
the law.
Have you not seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
It would be on the news.
Mm-hmm.
You get your Twitter handle.
No, I like that. I definitely like this idea of stealing a parade. Thanks, Kevin.
It sounds weird, but I'm sure that...
But I don't think I need to get arrested.
I'm pretty sure this happens in Animal House. They just push the guy over and take the baton, and they just lead it wherever they want. Because if you're in a parade, you're already so fucking stupid, you'll just follow whoever's marching in front because you're already wasting your goddamn Saturday walking around waving.
It's not how parades work.
Yeah, it is, actually. Go to a parade.
It's really, I used to be in a lot of parades. I was the drum major of the marching band.
I was Poppy Boy one year.
That was not the triangle. Okay, you can go.
That's what the drum major does.
He walks in the triangle and hits
it. That's not what that does. What are you even doing? That's
he's
the fucking dinner bell.
He's hitting the triangle.
You're on the prairie right now, and you're telling the kids to come out and play with the cows because dinner's ready.
Do they make different sounds?
No, they don't make different sounds.
It's one chime.
What makes different sounds?
Yeah, but there's three sides.
The cacophony of your stupidity, Kevin.
Oh, my God.
You're dismissed, Kevin. Colin, can you dismiss him, please?
You're dismissed.
I just feel like there's a lot of illegal things that I'd want to do.
What would you
want
to do?
Set off fireworks?
I mean, okay. Yeah, right? Why not?
Burn a house down.
No, see, I don't want to hurt people.
No?
No, okay, I feel like there's
a lot of... crimes are bad things, usually. I don't understand. Like,
no,
where...
that's true. You know, I don't have any good examples, really. I thought maybe you guys would. I know, for me, thinking about it, the problem is there's a lot of things I'm like, yeah, I would do that. And then the moment I start thinking about it, I'm like, no, that's probably not something I should do.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm trying to think of, like, sex things. What's
I got
some,
one.
Like,
sex
illegal...
outdoors, sure.
I got one.
But see, here's the thing. I want to have sex outdoors, and I want to get, like, I want to fuck in front of the fucking world. I want the whole world to see my dick.
Oh, but then she goes to jail.
Yeah.
Ooh. No. Let's get out of
here. That's not how it works. Unless you said you, there's one get out of jail. Then fine. Tim and Kevin can kill
unless
one another.
Just masturbating. Are you just masturbating in a window somewhere where everyone can see you?
But see, here's the problem, though, is it's like, to me, this is like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And then I'm like, that's sexual assault. Like...
Well, she's not into it.
You know what I mean?
No.
For people to watch and all that. So I'm like, oh, shit. So then I'm like, do I need to give, like, NDAs? Do I need to have people sign it? Like,
no, but at that point,
that's performance art.
Performance art, yeah.
No.
You can actually get away with that.
Really?
Yeah. If you brought everyone in.
No, that, I don't
if
think.
If you brought anyone in and had them sign NDAs and it was a closed off environment where no one else could see you,
yeah,
you probably could
that.
Get away with it.
Like, I'm talking about, like, I want it to be outside. I want it to be on the streets.
With a Z or an S?
Anything, really. Just give me concrete.
It's harder when it has a Z, Greg. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. This all makes sense in my brain.
I know it. No, it makes sense to me too. I wasn't knocking it.
I want to fuck on a mountain.
You can fuck on a mountain right now.
That's not illegal.
No. Yeah, it is.
Fucking on a mountain?
Yeah.
If you're outside.
If someone sees you.
No, I know,
it's
but
still illegal.
Yeah.
Just because no one saw you doesn't mean, oh, I stole this.
No one has sex outside. No, that's never happened
but
before.
It's illegal.
I've certainly never had sex outside, Kevin.
Nobody's saying that.
I've had sex in a car.
So what? So that's what you would use your.
I've had sex in a bed.
I didn't say it. He fucking.
I want
to know, but terrible.
I want
fucking
it to be
example.
A crowded mountain. I
like
I
a ski
want...
slope.
Space
just
mountain.
Having sex skiing down
the
mountain.
Off the rails.
Holy shit! See, no, there's kids.
Yeah, and
yeah,
they're getting
the birds
and the bees talk real early.
So those big
mommy, why does that man have his cranberry pants around his ankles?
It's not really a talk. It's more of like
mommy,
squishing noises.
I didn't know something could be that white.
Oh,
in regards to Tim's ass.
I got a white
your
ass.
Your ass is white, too. Don't ask
his
me no fucking ass. Look at your arms. If your arms are that white, your ass has to be even whiter. Sun never sees that.
I know. Look at you are so white.
You are Wonder Bread, my friend.
We can't all be ethnic, Colin. I'm sorry.
I would like to take your
I
arm
am
off.
Very ethnic.
You
I'm very ethnic. Ambiguously ethnic.
Got that nice Mediterranean skin.
I do. Look, we know. Greg was outside more than I do. Way
yeah,
more.
Yours is just natural. You have that glow to you.
I do.
That healthy TV baked in glow. The documentary's hitting you at 3 a.m.
Dude, I'm watching a great documentary. I think it's called How We Got to Now or something like that. It's on Netflix. It's a PBS documentary.
Okay.
It's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Each one is about like really random shit. The first one was about water and the second one's about
I think I've seen that on the suggested stuff.
Yeah.
They talk about the aqueducts?
With water, they talk about how like, you know, how water's been clean and how we made sewers and all these like it's about like unsung heroes of history and how like these certain people that made these about one of the guys that they talk about is how one of that guy lifted Chicago up to install sewers underneath it or whatever.
One man.
Oh, you get him in there.
True story. When we were on our way back from LA, we got into another argument about what is the.
That wasn't the argument.
Shut up! You're not mic'd.
You're also very distracting. Look the other direction.
Look into the fan. Turn the fan on and put your
turn the fan on and look into it.
Put your tongue in the fan. No, we got into an argument about what is the
that's looking
what is
at
the
me.
Single most you know important invention for man?
iPhone.
And Kevin was like the sewers.
Huh?
And he may very well be right.
No, that's not true.
I came up with some good answers in thinking about this.
The moon?
No. It's
not an invention.
I would, like, if I can get arrested for stuff, and again, like,
you're back to this. Okay.
Yeah, I'm the one coming up with this topic, so I'm now going to, my crew can get, like, one group of people.
Oh, wow, shit, okay.
I'd want to try, like, a heist. I'd want to see if we can heist something. Or if, I want to, I mean, maybe.
Rob a bank.
Yeah, I don't know about a bank. Like, even
not
like,
a, like, not like a, I don't want to scare people. What, okay, let me back up. When I say I rob a bank, I don't mean I'm going in gunslinging midday, get on the ground, everyone be cool, this is a fucking robbery, like, any of you motherfuckers move, I'm going to execute every last motherfucking ones of you. I mean,
you,
like, what's that?
Well, I don't know. I love you, honey you bunny. You hair bear, honey bear, what is it?
It's,
I love you, honey bunny.
I love you, pumpkin. I love you, honey bunny. Yeah, yeah. Pumpkin. That was, I mean, like, Thomas Crown Affair, right. Going at night, no one's there. Ice the alarm, kill the security feed, like a little Hudson Hawk action where we're figuring out kind of like how to rob the museum.
2 weeks in a row with a Hudson Hawk reference.
Fuck, man, I just got to watch it again. I got to just break down and rent it on Amazon.
There was an NES game for Hudson Hawk, and for years.
Really?
And yeah, and for years.
How bad was that game?
And for years, I was like, I always was like, there's a game called Hudson Hawk. And then, like, in the 90s, I was like, shit, there's a movie called Hudson Hawk that the game's based on. I didn't even know that. It was kind of like when Konami released Goonies 2 on NES. And for 10 years, I walked around and like, is there a Goonies 2? Because I never saw it. And they're like, no, the game is fucking called Goonies 2 Com. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know that. Anyway.
I really want to play the Hudson Hawk game now as a let's play. We should do that. I bet it's great. But yeah, I'm talking like cool. We get to wear cool outfits, like we're like head to toe black, like ninja. Maybe we have the, remember when the G.I. Joe characters would have the rope that you couldn't take off of them? That used to piss me off. We'd have that rope that we don't use. It's just there. If we need
rope. We never know when you need rope.
I don't know why they had it. Rope.
They had it there. That was like their cyanide pill.
They would just swallow the
Cobra's rope. Gonna get us. No, then they'd make a noose and hang themselves real quick.
Oh my
Duke's,
God.
Duke's yeah, last resort.
No, don't do that. And then they take it out their ass and they floss their whole body with it.
How many people
want to go to
a
sporting
that?
Event?
Two, and maybe like, three max.
Streak.
You know, because you can swallow it, keep going. Eventually it would work its way down. You'd have to have like a mile and a half. How long are your intestines? 10 miles? 18 miles? Doesn't matter. You'd have to have a lot of rope. But you could do it. You just keep pulling it through.
No, you can't.
It's like poltergeist.
Kevin, that's how bodies work. It's a straight shot from your mouth right to your asshole. The rope?
Yeah.
Maybe if it was lead lined, it wouldn't dissolve.
It was a cough.
I know. I wasn't sure what it was going to be. It all happened so fast.
Yeah,
I just turned
physical.
Over and it was mid thing. All right, stop.
Collaborate and listen.
Don't fall for his traps anymore. He sets these traps for you to fall into, and I don't want you to do
He's
it.
Smarter than me.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. I can absolutely say that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Game Over Greggy Show each and every week. Four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table. Each bring a random topic of discussion for your amusement. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can get the shows early by tossing us a few bucks. But if you have no bucks to toss, head over to youtube.com/kindoffunny where you can go. Yeah, I said Game Over Greggy, didn't I? Mm. That's an old one. Patreon.com/kindoffunny.
You didn't. You almost did, though.
I fixed it?
Yeah.
I saw you reacting, so
no,
I thought I screwed it up.
You did fix it. I was, you know.
YouTube.com/kindoffunny, where we break it up topic by topic, day by day, before our entire show. Friday. It's going to be 3 in video.
Hilarious.
Hilarious.
Heroin.
Until next time.
Cocaine.
It's been our pleasure to serve you.